The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
It is Tuesday, November 20th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, four people were killed, including a Chicago police officer, ER doctor, and a hospital worker Monday afternoon in a shooting at Mercy Hospital in Chicago. The gunman, identified as 32-year-old Juan Lopez, the former fiance of the ER doctor, was also killed. Gunfire erupted inside and outside of the hospital at about 3 o'clock at the main hospital located at South Michigan Avenue and West 25th Street. The other victims were identified as Dr. Tamara O'Neill and Chicago police officer Samuel Jimenez. A pharmaceutical assistant was also fatally shot. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said late Monday that the shooting began in the parking lot outside of Mercy Hospital as part of a domestic dispute between O'Neill, who had recently broken off an engagement with the gunman. During the argument, Lopez pulled out a gun and shot O'Neill. He then ran into Mercy Hospital and continued firing as initial responding officers gave chase. Inside the hospital, police exchanged gunfire with Lopez. Johnson said it was during the exchange of gunfire that the shooter was fatally struck, though it's not immediately clear if he was struck by police fire or if it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
You know, I was reading the story this morning and saw pictures of everybody, saw a picture of the gunman, and looks like a nice guy. He's had a friendly face, and you just never know
that point
what lurks under there.
Yeah, at which it becomes unhinged, and the fact that you can go from that. I saw the same pictures, Brad. Looks like a totally benevolent person.
Yeah. Jeez. No surprise.
I just, you know, when I look at that, I've had broken hearts before, and I've had people that have broken things off with me before, and yeah, it hurts, but, you know, it never, ever, ever occurred to me to go in that direction. And it will get better, but, you know, at a certain point, like, you know, why can't they just in their mind go, this person doesn't want to be with me anymore, and why would I want to be with them, and just move on?
Well, and
it's happened since time began. Scorn lovers have done things like this.
And he obviously completely snapped because he killed her first and then went into the hospital and shot other people.
Terrific. Yeah. Can't understand it.
Jimenez was taken to the hospital. He was in critical condition until about 7:30 when he passed away. Jimenez is a married father of three and had been with the Chicago Police Department for just 18 months. That one, I heard that, and I'm like, come on. You know, right before the holidays, this father, ugh. Yep. A second officer was also shot. He was shot at, but the bullet struck his holster and embedded itself in the gun. The officer was not injured. The hospital was partially evacuated, and employees and patients were taken to warming buses. Workers from the hospital's pharmacy, which is just inside the lobby, said the shooter was arguing with people and attempting to get into the pharmacy. They say they followed the hospital's active shooter training, closed their shutters, locked the doors, and hid. Police are investigating a gruesome discovery in Southwest Philadelphia where four people were found dead inside a home. Officers were called shortly after noon Monday to a home on the 5100 block of Malcolm Street after a relative requested a wellness check. In the basement of the home, four people, two men and two women believed to be in their 30s, were found with one gunshot wound each to the head. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Richard Ross says the home appears to be in the process of being renovated. Neighbors heard bangs Sunday night, which they assumed had to do with the ongoing work at the house. There were no signs of struggle, which leads investigators to believe that the victims may have been led into the basement. Police have a tentative identification on at least two of the victims. They believe at least one of the men lived at the house, possibly with the other, who may be a cousin. Police are unsure of the relationship to the women found dead in the home. Neighbors said the residents of the home mostly kept to themselves, didn't really talk to too many people on the block. Police say they are checking surveillance cameras in the area as well as interviewing witnesses and family members in an attempt to figure out what led to the killing. So far, no arrests have been made. If you have any information, you are urged to contact police. Police are warning residents after they say two men posed as PGW workers to gain access into a home where they attacked and robbed a man in Northeast Philadelphia. The brutal home invasion took place in the 4500 block of Higbee Street in Northeast Philadelphia. Police say two men posed as PGW workers before attacking and robbing a man who let them in his home. PGW issued an advisory telling the public to always ask for ID before letting a utility worker in. PGW workers also wear official hard hats. hats, uniforms with a logo, and they say that you should always check for badges and official PGW vehicles parked outside. The warning comes after police say the victim on Higbee let in a man wearing a white PGW hard hat who said that he had to check his basement following a gas leak in the area. Police say the victim was beaten with a firearm and kicked in the head. Thousands in cash was stolen along with jewelry. Cops say the PGW hard hat, a gas detector, and a clipboard were found at the scene. In sports this morning.
Sorry, guys. This channel keeps getting turned off.
That's weird.
That's all my right. bad.
I was
my
just
bad.
Gonna wait.
Everybody's
for the
waiting for the dolphin.
Can't
I know.
Can't move without the dolphin.
Not moving without the dolphin. The Sixers remain undefeated at home with a 119-114 win over the Phoenix Suns last night at the center. Joel Embiid scored 19 of his 33 points after halftime and added 17 rebounds to help the Sixers beat the Suns. Ben Simmons added 19 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists. The win improved them to 12-7 on the season, 2 games behind the Toronto Raptors for the best record in the East. They're home again tomorrow night with a game against the New Orleans Pelicans and will look to improve to 10-0 at the Wells Fargo Center. In Monday Night Football, the hype before the game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs lived up to the expectations. Jared Goff threw a 40-yard touchdown pass to Gerald Everett for a go-ahead score with a minute 49 to play, and the Rams outlasted the Chiefs for a 54-51 Whoa. Win. The two teams combined for 105 points, the third most in NFL history. In the end, it was the highest scoring game in Monday Night Football. It was the first game ever where both teams scored 50 points or more, and also the first team where the first team scored 50 points still lost. The Flyers are off until tomorrow night when they'll travel to Buffalo to play the Sabres, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. So here's what we got in store for you today. Some guests on the program. We will have Bruce Valanche
yes.
stopping by in the studio. Sign of the Times, which is a musical based on the book by Bruce Valanche. He's going to be playing at the Delaware Theater Company, and that's the 28th through the 23rd. So he's going to swing by here today, which is cool.
Bruce Legendary comedy writer, yeah.
Ever, and you maybe have seen him on Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, yeah.
And interviewed at all kinds of social events and stuff like that. But yeah, he's been a comedy writer for decades. And some of the best TV shows out there.
And it's written for some of the absolute best.
Yeah, yeah, so he'll be stopping in today. And then we have Mama Cheeps.
Mama Cheeps!
Black Friday, holiday deals, coupons, elf Woo! On the shelves
no,
and
Kathy,
stuff.
I'm excited about this, believe it or not. I'm like, dude, I can't wait to like hear about all of these deals because I want to get some stuff.
Her name is Devin Weaver, by the way, but she goes by Mama Cheeps. How do we come across Mama Cheeps?
So a friend of mine told me about Mama Cheeps. She created, this is the first time she's done this year, she created this Black Friday spreadsheet. You can basically go to her website, you can search whatever you're looking for. If you're looking for something specific, she'll have it on there, the price it is, and where you can buy it for the best deal. So I had mentioned that to you guys, and then Steve just kept saying Mama Cheeps all morning long, and she reached out.
I helped on the Mama Cheeps call.
Yeah, apparently her social media and her website kind of blew up that all morning, right. So she's going to come in and tell us some of the best Black Friday.
Mama Cheeps! Be here this morning, so we'll get you deals for you. We also have a Tattoos Day taking place, and listener Vicky is going to be getting a tattoo. We'll tell you more about that later on. Our friends from Hatfield is stopping by. Simply Hatfield. Is that Hatfield Quality Meats, I assume?
Yes, sir.
All right, so they'll be here, and we'll tell you what we have going on with those guys. So let's take a break, because I have a ton of entertainment stuff today that I want to get to. Dancing with the Stars, I had a winner last night. Some other things, too. So we'll take a break and be right back with us. Stay.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, it's Preston from the Preston and Steve Show. This holiday season, I'm going to be buying Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift cards for my family and friends. And listen, during the Black Friday weekend, it is their buy one, get one free sale on gift cards. Visit one of their over 50 locations in your neighborhood or visit hannahandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Do you ever wonder why everyone hates Steven Singer? Well, he makes buying a diamond easy with his 100-day no-hassle money-back guarantee and free shipping both ways, making returns and exchanges hassle-free.
visit Stephen at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Stephen Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right. We're going to do a stupid question today, and we are going to give away tickets to see Joe Perry Wednesday, December 5th at the Franklin Music Hall, formerly the Electric Factory. So the question I have for you this morning, what Asian country produces most of the world's garlic? 215-263-WMMR.
I was just watching a four-hour movie about this.
About the
production
what
of garlic.
Okay. So what Asian country produces most of the world's garlic? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. I got a bunch of birthdays today. On Tuesday, November 20th, former Vice President of the U.S., Joe Biden, celebrates his 76th birthday today.
I think he just got a dog.
He did. He adopted a German Shepherd.
Yeah. No kidding.
From the Delaware Humane Society.
Does he live in Wilmington or?
I'm just outside Wilmington.
Okay.
And he's like in Delaware, he's just Joe. He shows up at Whole Foods and whatever. Yeah. You know?
Joe!
Yeah.
Okay. Joe is 76 today. Jared Falwell, bassist of Kings of Leon, one of the Falwell cousins, brothers, whatever.
Yes, uncles, sisters.
Well, one of the Kings of Leon.
Yes, he's one of the Kings of Leon, if you will. He is 32. Mike D of the Beastie Boys. He's celebrating his 53rd birthday today. I think Mike D was kind of like my least favorite Beastie
Your least
boy.
Favorite?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Dustin Diamond's brother, right?
What?
That was always like the rumor.
Is that
his
true?
But his name's Mike Diamond. It's like, you know that's Dustin Diamond. That's Screech's
brother. Oh, I did not know that was the rumor.
Yeah.
Let me get this straight. I don't dislike the guy, but he's my least favorite Beastie Boy.
Listen, you can't have all of them be your favorite Beastie Boys. It's
like
just impossible.
My least favorite Beatle was Ringo.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it's not that I hate him, but.
Right, exactly. I know what you mean.
Still means massive adoration.
Yeah.
Mike D is 53. Sean Young, the actress.
Yes.
Stripes and Blade Runner and No Way Out. And then Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
And then went a little bit off the deep end.
Yes, she did.
When she was soliciting for the role of Catwoman in the Batman movie.
Yeah.
Remember she had a little bit of a breakdown?
Well, she went on a talk show. I forgot which one.
Yes, wearing a bat mask.
Put the mask on, and she auditioned, even though no one asked her to.
And she was also making fun of Michael Keaton in her audition about him going bald. So
really?
That really didn't help secure the role.
Ah, she's 59 today. Bo Derek. You were just talking about her the other day.
I think Bo Derek looks better now than she did when she was in the movie 10. She just looks phenomenal.
She is 62 years old today.
Yeah.
And, yes, 10 and Tarzan the Ape Man.
Which stunk.
Tommy Boy, of course.
She's great. Yeah.
Is that
great
for me? That.
Yeah. No, son, that's for me.
Well, then hang on a second. She's 62 today?
Yeah.
Then how old was she in Tommy? When did Tommy
Boy
come out?
She was 14.
I don't know. Yeah. Look into what year Tommy Boy came out, if you would.
95.
Okay, 95. That was 23 years ago?
Wow.
That was 23 years ago?
What?
Jeez. Man, so she was in her...
She was 49.
40, yeah.
Yeah. That works.
Wait a
minute. All good.
No,
right. She's 62. She was 93.
30. She was in her 30s.
Yeah.
She's 69.
She's 62. Too.
Whatever.
The great Joe Walsh celebrates his birthday today. Joe is 71 years old, solo artist, lead singer of the James Gang.
Love the James Gang.
Of course, the Eagles. I was just playing to Life of Confusion last night. A little, like, it was jamming. So
it's great.
He's awesome.
And you can see him, his whole section of the Eagles documentary.
Yeah.
And his addition is just an amazing part.
Yep.
And you forget what a great singer he is, too.
Just about drunk himself to death, man.
Absolutely, yeah. He was the one who would bring the chainsaw to the hotel.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's a great guitar player, just outstanding. Also celebrating birthdays today, Joel McHale. Talk Soup, Community. He is 47 years old today. And then the last one I have, Steve, is actress Ming-Na Wen.
Oh, yes.
Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
She's awesome.
Yeah,
yes.
She's a beautiful woman, man.
Beautiful, and she's awesome in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, she's 55 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to these stupid questions. So, what Asian country produces most of the world's garlic? And I will go to Eric. It says Eric I. Eric I?
Good morning.
All right, Eric, what country produces most of the world's garlic?
China,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
correct. Hang on a second, Eric. We'll get your information.
Ooh.
We're going to give you tickets to see Joe Perry Wednesday, December 5th, Franklin Music Hall, formerly the Electric Factory. And tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. Jackson's going to have your chance to win tickets and a meet and greet next week during the Camp Out for Hunger. Let's start with this. This is Us star Mandy Moore married Dawes musician Taylor Goldsmith in front of family and friends Sunday afternoon in L.A. Yay! An insider tells the publication that it was an intimate backyard wedding at Mandy's home that started just after sundown on Sunday evening. The look was the look was reportedly very boho.
Very boho.
Wait, what does that mean?
With rugs on the floor. Very like earthy and trippy and hippie. Yeah. So with rugs on the floor surrounding an altar, flower arrangements included large feathers, and Mandy wore a dress by Rodarte.
I love feathers.
In a new deleted post, Moore's pal and makeup artist Jen Stryker posted shots of the dress, which is uber girly with ruffles, flowers, and a cotton candy pink hue.
Sounds totes boho.
And Moore and Goldsmith celebrated with pals, including Chrissy Metz, Sterling K. Brown, Wilmer Valderrama,
and Ric Flair.
Milo Ventimiglia and Minka Kelly at a private event space called the Fig House.
Wait, wasn't she with?
No, they were like, don't you remember, like, a couple of weeks ago?
Hold on a moment.
Who? Valderrama.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew you were talking about. We have, like, a second language, Kathy.
We don't.
But they,
it's the first one that's difficult.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh, my God. They went to Disneyland the other day, right? We just had a story about how they always go to Disneyland together on a certain day.
Well,
yeah.
Weren't they together? Weren't they a couple at some point?
I'm not really sure.
I think they were. So they if they were, been. I think that's weird.
Dude's been with everybody, so there's a good chance they may have been a couple. I'm not
probably with him, too.
Instead of a formal dinner, they opted for a number of food stations around the venue, including meat, chicken, vegetarian, raw food, flatbread, cheese, and charcuterie, and more. Beverages included a whiskey station. And a ton of wine. Goldsmith,
no snackables?
No. Goldsmith took a break from celebrating to perform with Jackson Brown, Jonathan Rice, Blake Mills, and Lenny Goldsmith. They got engaged in 2017 after dating for 2 years.
Jackson Brown was there.
Yeah. Moore has not yet posted about her dress, but she did share that her beloved cat, Madeline, had unfortunately died on Saturday after a long struggle with heart disease. So must have been bittersweet that particular weekend.
You went to a show recently and they were the opener, right? Dawes, didn't I don't know if you got to see them or not. You went to a concert and you don't
was
go to Manny.
ELO?
It might have been ELO.
Might have been ELO, yeah. I like Dawes.
I didn't go to the opening act.
I think you'd like them. I mean, okay. They're rock, but not quite like hard rock, but they would compliment ELO.
Would you call them boho, Nick?
They're very boho.
Okay.
You know what I did like was not sitting in traffic before the concert and getting there after that the opening was act. But I will check them out, absolutely. Now, this is pretty wild, man. TMZ is reporting that Trouble Miller's Place alum Heather Locklear has been placed on a psych hold by her therapist over fears that she is suffering another nervous breakdown.
Wow. Yet again.
She was at her home on Sunday afternoon when 911 was called and she was taken to the hospital. They're reporting that Locklear went nuts and assaulted her boyfriend, Chris Heiser. The star has long battled mental and substance abuse issues. She is reportedly in treatment for addiction to prescription pills and alcohol. She was arrested most recently in June after crashing a car into a pylon under the grounds of her home. She was arrested, I didn't know this, a week prior for choking her 85-year-old mother, Diane.
Whoa, I must have missed that one.
Oh, and threatening to kill herself. Yes. So news also recently broke that an EMT responder was filing suit against Locklear for injuries sustained in one of her recent arrests. So,
yeah, she was attacking him. I remember this the last story.
So there's a lot wrong.
She's got to stay in for a while.
Yeah, and
can't just, you know, shoot her right through the program and release her. She needs to be watched for a while.
Yeah.
I think she's going to either kill herself or kill somebody.
Exactly. That's sad to hear. All right, Dancing with the Stars has a surprising new champion.
I purposely didn't learn who it was because I wanted you to tell me.
On Monday's live finale of the reality dancing competition series, the four remaining couples, and please, ladies and gentlemen, pipe up if you have any idea who these people are, because I don't recognize one single solitary name. That's here we go. Alexis Wren and Alan Burstyn.
Is Alexis the Instagram model?
I don't know.
Isn't Alan Burstyn Ellen Burstyn's husband?
I don't know.
All right, we're getting there.
Bobby Bones and Sharna Burgess.
Bobby Bones is a DJ, a country DJ.
Okay. Milo Mannheim and Whitney Carson.
Milo Mannheim is from the Zombies Disney series. Okay. Or the Disney movie.
Milo, I guess.
Milo, yes.
Okay, I know who he is. And Ivana Lynch and Kyo Matsep.
No idea!
They went head-to-head as they competed for the Mirrorball Trophy. They managed to survive the season that included a historic run by low-scoring Bachelor in Paradise alum Joe Amabile, I guess?
Yeah. Joel Embiid?
Automobile.
Joel Embiid. Embiid. Oh,
all right, yeah. Anyhow, Bachelor in Paradise alum Joe Amabile and the shocking eliminations of high-scoring celebs Tinashe and Juan Pablo de Pais.
Yeah.
Well, the winner was Bobby Bones.
Oh, no!
And Sharna Burgess.
No!
So they took the coveted Mirrorball Trophy.
I watched that zombie movie. I liked
too.
It.
It was good.
I liked him.
And they're very talented.
Yeah, so, well, better than Bobby Bones.
Yeah, Bobby Bones is the winner. And they were saying controversial winner. I don't know why.
Because he killed a former president.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That would be some controversy in the contest. All right, so anyhow. All right, weirdest story of the day. And Steve sent this over to me. Legendary DJ Casey Kasem's vicious family feud now includes allegations of murder and elder abuse and is the focus of Saturday's 48-hour show on CBS.
Wow.
Listen to the details of this. The ongoing battle.
Wait, it aired already? Or is it
coming up this Saturday.
This Saturday. The ongoing battle pits Janine Kasem, Kasem's second wife, against his three children, Carrie, Julie, and Michael, from his first marriage. Now, it's all laid bare by correspondent Peter Van Zandt in Saturday's episode. And listen to what Van Zandt said. He said, I have never seen such hatred within a family.
Wow. Yeah, well, remember where we were at, where we knew what was going on in this story. Jeannie Kasem was not letting the family, the kids, get into the house to see Casey Kasem, who was dying.
Their dying father.
Right. Mm-hmm. Would not let him into the house. And then she held on and hid the body.
Correct.
For like a month and a half.
Yeah, and there's more to it.
Yeah.
So here's a seasoned, you know, he's a veteran reporter who's seen it all. I've never seen such hatred within a family. He said both sides tell credible, powerful stories. Both proclaim their love for Casey and both blame the other and accuse the other of killing Casey. And both use the word murder.
Wow.
Each side says that they murdered him. Okay, so Kasem died in June 2014 on Father's Day at the age of 82 from a Parkinson's-like disease, leaving behind an estimated value between $80 and $100 million that he amassed by founding and voicing the internationally broadcast American Top 40 radio show and its various iterations. He also notably played Shaggy on Scooby-Doo.
That's right, Scoob.
Janine claims that Kasem's three grown children conspired in 2007 to trick Casey into signing over power of attorney, giving them control over his medical decisions, which ultimately killed him, they say. It was always about the money, she tells Van Zandt. This is according to Janine. They, in turn, filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Janine, claiming elder abuse when she moved Casey from a rehab facility to Santa Monica, California, to a friend's home in Washington State. And Carrie Kasem tells Van Zandt, Jean killed my father. The only thing she ever wanted from my dad is money. Janine countersued the children for forcing Casey to return to a hospital in Gig Harbor, Washington, where he eventually died. Janine claims that once they had control of Casey and his medical decisions, they told his doctors to unhook his nutrition, hydration, and medicine and left him to die. She claims that they wanted their share of his life insurance policy. Van Zandt will also break the news on Saturday's 48 Hours that police in Gig Harbor have opened an investigation into Casey's death after a private eye hired by Janine concluded that he was a homicide victim. So
well, Janine Kasem was also pointing out the fact, Preston, that the kids hired as his live-in nurse a Kodiak bear.
No! No!
Yes! That's deadly!
Listen to this. In a further twist, Kasem's body rests in an unmarked grave in Oslo, Norway. This was according to...
was his wish, his final wish.
Well, Van Zandt said after he died, his body was flown to Montreal and kept on ice there for a few weeks.
God.
And then it was flown to Oslo. As you'll see, there's a Swedish woman named Anki who visits his grave once a month and decorates it. Van Zandt says Janine won't say why the grave is unmarked, but that Casey always expressed interest in Norway, though he's never been there.
Wait a second. Can you guys play this video back? It looks like Jeannie or Janine Kasem faints out of a chair. Run it back a little bit. What are we watching here?
I don't know.
Hold on a second. All right. Yeah, right about there. Yep. Coming attractions for 48 hours, she faints out of the chair.
Is this the woman who played Tortelli's wife in Cheers?
Yeah.
Loretta.
Okay. Yeah. And is all right, so I'm getting confused here. Is there a Janine and a Jean, or is there just a... What's going on? What's the daughter's name?
It's Jeannie. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's Jeannie Kasem. I misread that.
Okay.
All right, so anyhow, the kids say that it was done completely out of spite, so they can't visit the grave. Both sides swear that they will take this to court and fight it out, and both of them claim that they will prevail.
What a mess. We knew it was a mess, and we knew it was bad before, but this is just off the charts. And when you, as you said, Preston, a seasoned reporter who does this stuff all the time,
mm-hmm.
to say this is the most hatred he's ever seen within a family.
Yeah.
Come on.
So that's this weekend.
Shaggy. This is no way for Shaggy to go out.
48 hours on CBS.
Marry me in Sweden, Scoob.
I am, it's Norway.
Did they say Norway?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
A Swedish woman comes to visit him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, yes, Norway, Oslo, Norway.
Is that woman the caretaker? She would have gotten away with it, too.
Yeah, right? Messed up. All right, how about this? The rapper known as Tekashi 69 was in federal custody yesterday awaiting a Manhattan court appearance on racketeering charges alleging that he participated in the July shooting of a bystander in Brooklyn and the gunpoint robbery of his gang's rivals last spring.
So he's, what they're saying is, an active member of a street gang.
Yeah, 69 could face life in prison if convicted. The Brooklyn-based rapper, whose legal name is Daniel Hernandez, was among four people arrested on racketeering and firearms charges. The authorities also arrested three of his former associates, Kifano Shoddy Jordan, Gensel Ish Butler, and Fahim Crippy Walter.
I want to be Steve Crippy Morrison.
69 has been one of the most controversial names in hip-hop in recent months. His album, Day 69 Graduation Day, was among the top records on iTunes following its February release. He's known for the multi-platinum hit Fifi with Nicki Minaj, which peaked at number 3 on the pop charts, and Stupid, featuring...
Which is what he is.
The incarcerated rapper Bobby Shmurda.
Have you ever seen an interview with him? Now, mind you, I'm on TMZ all the time, so I see him interviewed constantly.
Yeah.
He is virtually brain dead.
Yeah.
I think the brain can operate the lungs and a few other internal organs and squeak out a word here or there that makes sense. But he is a moron.
He's not long for this world.
No.
Yes. But 69 also had a series of run-ins with the law enforcement and has publicly identified himself as a member of a violent New York gang, Nine Trey Bloods. That's the gang. And a superseding indictment unsealed on Monday in Manhattan federal court, 69 was charged in connection with what prosecutors described as Nine Trey Gangsta Bloods, which they said carried out acts of murder, robbery, and narcotics trafficking in Manhattan, the Bronx, Brooklyn since at least 2013.
Well, Nine Trey Bloods, Preston, had a really virulent war going on with a group of another gang that played Cronum. And that's where they started.
Okay.
The indictment said each gang member was required to carry out at least two acts of racketeering conspiracy. Those acts could include murder, robbery, extortion, drug distribution,
Jesus.
The court paper said. Yeah, and in a 2015 case in New York, he was sentenced to probation for his involvement in a sexually explicit video of a 13-year-old girl
The thing is, the guy just, it looks like any guy off the street. You know, a regular guy you'd encounter anywhere with his colored teeth, the writing on his face. It looks like an insane. They should have arrested him years ago, mm-hmm. before he did anything, because he was destined to do it.
Yeah, well, they got to wait till they got something on you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what they're doing. Wow. Still have a lot of stuff left here. We got to get to this. Sunday's episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians was a long time coming.
Oh, don't tell me. I have a DVR.
I'm going to have to tell you all about it.
Man.
While fans have long been aware that Tristan Thompson cheated on Khloe the week before she was scheduled to give birth to their baby Drew, because of the time lag of production, no one was able to see her reaction in real time, and now they have.
Yeah, they sort of are forced to relive it, Preston.
Last night, Khloe joined fans on Twitter to live tweet the episode and respond to questions. She did not hold back, embracing the horror as she watched alongside everyone else. She said, "I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to watch the episode tonight. I can't believe I had to deal with this disgusting crap still in the hospital room.
But thanks to your support, I made it through.
But she wasn't going to kick Tristan out of the delivery room despite his betrayal, and she explained why to confused fans. She said, I made it very clear that I was still disgusted by his actions, but I wasn't going to let anything ruin this moment that I've been waiting my entire life for, regardless of what Tristan did to me. I was never going to take that moment away from True or Tristan.
True or Tristan don't deserve it. He deserves it, but she doesn't.
She should not be punished for his actions. He is her father, and they both deserve to love one another as deeply as they possibly can. While fans applauded her maturity, she was quick to admit, oh, well, I did some not-so-mature things the day prior, but I needed to get that out of my system.
Yeah.
And then she wrote namaste all the way to the hospital.
She brushed his her butthole with his toothbrush and did all those things.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
One thing she was quick to clear up was the impression that many were under that Tristan cheated on his ex and the mother of his first child, Jordan Craig, with Chloe.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to do that with Chloe.
In response to a fan who accused her of staging photos so everyone would see you, would, quote, see you with tea at the Bel Air Hotel a day before Jordy gave birth, Chloe tweeted, what are you even talking about? Their son was born December 12th. These images were taken many months later. And baby girl, I've been wearing those rings way longer than I've known TT.
You bet your ass.
Get your facts straight.
You bet your fat ass.
She also shared a photo of them waiting in the delivery room, writing in Instagram that it was, quote, one of the most awkward photos I have seen in a long time.
We're looking at footage of Kim Kardashian standing behind Tristan doing the, like, you know, like making faces and all this stuff. If you think he's that much of a dick, you know.
Yeah, but she didn't. But Chloe invited him into
It's not up to Kim.
It's not up to Kim. And you can see they, like, give each other a hug, and it's kind of like the side hug, like, hey.
Uh-huh. Yep. All right. Well, anyhow, the episode has aired. The holidays are nigh, and Meghan Markle is about to celebrate her first Thanksgiving and Christmas as royal. But by all accounts, it's going to be pretty weird.
Sparkle Markle?
Well, first up, Thanksgiving. Some question whether the American-born Meghan will be allowed to celebrate the holiday, seeing as it commemorates that time many English-born pilgrims set forth on a long and dangerous voyage to flee political and religious persecution in their homeland.
I thought she and the royal family were going to go visit with the dad in the States.
Last year, Meghan celebrated with her mother, Doria Ragland, in California. What's going to happen is to be determined, but the Queen reportedly hasn't forbidden the celebration by royal decree, and Meghan and Prince Harry don't have any events scheduled for the day, so she may be indulging in turkey and stuffing behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
Now for Christmas. Meanwhile, we want to hope she doesn't eat too much gravy because, listen to this, I've never heard of this
before. All right.
She will have to be weighed before her Christmas meal, per a juicy new report hailing from the royal expert Ingrid Seward. Apparently, every member of the royal family, including Harry, Prince William, and Kate Middleton, must be weighed before and after dinner on Christmas Day.
All right. Wait, after dinner, and do they get to poop first?
I don't know about.
But what is this about, this bizarre thing?
It's a tradition. Okay, apparently the Queen asks guests to weigh themselves to ensure they're being well fed.
Okay.
And once weighed, the guests must enter the dining room in order of seniority. Once seated, the head chef carves the turkey, and paper hats are donned, but not by the Queen. So everybody has to
look at us wearing our paper hats, and it's so much fun. Where is the scale so we can see if we've put a lot of food into our dummies? Oh, look, I folded a flap on my paper hat. Oh, what fun.
So much fun.
Yes. Later on, we'll go out to a pit and murder some peasants.
Oh, my God. Damn. I've seen the paper hat thing.
I love Christmas. The annual slaughtering of the peasants.
In a pit.
In a pit with our paper hats. And the one who catches my paper hat will be spared.
Oh, that's a nice tradition.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Congratulations on your adroit paper hat catching skills.
Oh, my God.
You're free to go.
Now for the rest of them to line up.
They have some interesting traditions. Now, royal snuggles are on tap in almost painfully adorable shots shared by the Sunday Times magazine featuring Prince Louis and his grandfather, Prince Charles. The photographer posted the portrait of Louis and Prince Charles to Instagram, writing, I've spent much of the last year documenting some intimate and behind-the-scenes moments with the Prince of Wales to celebrate his 70th birthday. It really has been an incredible privilege to create such a unique set of images and a huge amount of fun.
What exactly is this thing?
At the same time, he's holding the baby.
It's a baby, sir. Like a human. A human child.
Yeah.
I thought it was a dwarf. A stupid dwarf. I've been attempted to engage it in conversation.
Stupid dwarf.
But all it would do was suck on my index finger.
Throw it in the pit.
Yes. You're lucky you're too small.
Bob Barker, 94-year-old, Price is Right host, it appears to be on the mend, but he was rushed to the hospital on Sunday for the second time in a month.
I don't like this, you know, when they start going to the hospital frequently at this age, because obviously they're... You know, the pneumonia or a flu can take them out.
Yeah, it can set in pretty quickly. So, but he was suffering from severe back pain. Reportedly had non-emergency back surgery in October.
They call it showcase model back.
And has been having issues ever since. And so yeah, I guess it pertains to that. But they said he's okay. So, you know, but he's 94 years old, man. He's a tough old guy, though.
In great shape. Still practices martial arts. The whole damn deal.
He still practices
martial
arts?
Yeah, he does. That's my understanding. That's part of his workout.
Wow. Let's see. This is great. Last week, Twitter user Slackerduck.
Slackerduck.
And other students at SUNY Purchase.
Yes.
How you say that? SUNY Purchase, S-U-N-Y Purchase, found a Danny DeVito shrine hidden behind the paper towel dispenser in one of the bathrooms.
It's hilarious. Did you see the picture?
I did.
No. Yeah.
See if you can pull up a Danny DeVito shrine.
It looks like something you'd find in the corner of a pyramid.
A video taken shows a hole in the bathroom wall that leads into a concrete room that has graffiti on the walls and many papers on the floor. In one corner of the room, there's a shrine to the actor along with a sign that reads, "Leave an offering for our Lord and Savior Danny DeVito, the patron saint of trash men." Photos and videos of the shrine quickly went viral, leading lots of students to try and find the shrine themselves. A spokesperson for the school tells BuzzFeed News the hole has since been sealed for safety reasons, but that the school has invited Danny to come and meet his superfans. A student says the school has been told the shrine was the work of a student from the School of Art and Design.
There you go. So they have the Danny DeVito shrine.
And you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a Preston and Steve shrine.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be kind
of
cool?
I know. It's sort of self-serving, but I agree.
Yeah, we don't put it together, but if somebody wants to create a shrine, go right ahead and send us a picture.
Where should it be?
Yeah. Exactly.
Wherever they want. I don't know.
Okay.
It could be makeshift at your home.
Anybody else watching The Kominsky Method on Netflix? It's with Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin.
I've heard about it. I have not seen it.
It's really good. It debuted this weekend, I think on Friday. And but anyway, the reason I bring it up is that Michael Douglas and Danny DeVito have been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And the episode that I watched last night, DeVito plays Michael Douglas's proctologist. And it is hilarious.
Is it good,
the
series?
It's really,
yeah,
really
I've
funny.
Seen the promos.
And Danny is typical Danny DeVito, but man, is he hilarious.
Yeah, see if we can get him on. It's been a long time since we talked to him. All right, clips. The Rookie pokes fun at an older man who started a brand new chapter by becoming a police officer. Here, Nathan Fillion talks about how a marriage or career ending shouldn't be the end of your life. Here we go.
Careers sometimes stop or halt, and you know they're left without a job to do. So men start over. They start new families. They start new jobs. They start new careers. This is something that people are doing now, a second go at life.
I don't think I want to see it.
The Rookie will air a new episode tonight, 10 o'clock on ABC. Here's the next clip. Wreck-It Ralph is making his way back onto the silver screen with Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet. And here, actor John C. Reilly talks about how happy he is to be back.
Ralph was someone really close to my heart because it came very organically, the way I developed the character with Rich Moore and Phil Johnston on the first one. And so I was really happy to see that Disney decided to make another one because it's a beloved character.
Velociraptor.
In case you saw it.
I saw it last night. I loved it. It was heartwarming, touching, funny. I love how they created the internet.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like
how they depict it, how they render it,
and be inside the internet. Yes, Sarah Silverman's awesome. And there are just so many great moments in this movie. So
I assume you'll go see it again, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And since it's a holiday, it opens tomorrow.
There you go.
Theaters tomorrow. Wreck-It Ralph 2. Ralph Breaks the Internet. And there you go. That's your entertainment report. Had a lot in that today. Some juicy stuff, friends. We're going to take a break because we got a lot of things to get to this morning. We're going to have in our studio legendary comedy writer Bruce Valanche will be here. He's got a show about his book, and we'll get the details from him a little bit later on this morning after 8 o'clock. Mama Cheeps! Going to be here. Give me the deals for Black Friday, and we got a meet and eat with some friends, and tattoos ain't a lot taking place. We'll be back in a moment, of course. Camp Out for Hunger now less than a week away. Less than a week away and a lot being planned. Give you some of the details. Back in a moment.
Whether social...
Hey, welcome in.
...or antisocial...
Hey, get out!
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
Hey, you guys smell that?
Yes.
It's our friends from Hatfield Meats are here. In fact, Hatfield hams are part of what they brought by today. And they come in a variety of sizes, flavors, and cuts. There's classic hardwood smoked, honey roasted, and black forest. You can visit www.simplyhatfield.com for more information. I always think it's nice to have some ham along with the turkey, too.
As an option. Yes.
I got my Hatfield ham for Thanksgiving.
And then for leftovers, man, if you have both, you can make like a a club sandwich out of both turkey and ham.
Oh, herky or tam.
Herky or tam.
Yeah, it's a combo. It's like turducken. Ooh.
So thank you to Hatfield for being here with that. And speaking of Thanksgiving, the high temperature is going to be 27 degrees on Thursday. It will be the coldest Thanksgiving in over 100 years, and it's going to be windy, and I will be on the Ben Franklin Parkway watching my son.
It'll be the first time you've gone to the Thanksgiving parade in 100 years.
Yeah, and it's not like we'll just show up, we'll watch some of the parade, and then we'll leave. I'm there hours before it starts.
Because your son's performing.
He's performing in it, and we'll be there till the bitter, and I use that word, bitter end. So, of course, it's the coldest one in 100 years.
Bring the largest mug you can bring. Get your Dunkin' Donuts coffee because they'll be down there.
Absolutely.
And bundle up. And then, of course, if you can sort of worm your way into the broadcast booth at ABC.
We'll see.
See if you can do that. That might help.
It's just par for the course because I've been on a roll lately.
Have you?
I've been on an idiot roll lately. I've just had stupid things that I've been doing, and
they do come in waves, don't they?
They do.
Yeah,
man.
I just came out of a wave.
It's a funk of some sort.
Absolutely.
It's a trough that you get into of stupidity.
You cosmically invite it somehow.
So I'm going to share a little story with you of this one that happened, and I feel free to share your stories as well.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Did you start a fraudulent GoFundMe campaign?
No.
God, I
want to
hear that audio, though.
Well, that's coming up later.
We're going to have to find a moment to play
that's
that.
That's going around, too.
Yeah.
So is this a moron alert or something?
This is a moron alert. Right. Yeah, this is. And I got a text from a guy the other day who had something similar happen. And I'll tell you his, okay?
Yeah,
his
please, because it's hilarious.
He texted and he goes, moron alert. He said, I went and got up early, got ready, went into work today, got all the way into work, walk in the front door and realize we're closed today. So he fought traffic.
The whole deal.
And the whole deal was his day off.
Oh, my God.
Went into work. So that's similar to what I had happen. So it was last week. My wife, who was out of the house, she texts me and says, you need to go pick up Caroline from school early.
Right.
She had, had a stomach ache. She has Crohn's disease. So from time to time, this type of thing happens. So okay, no problem. Yeah. What time do I need to be there by? What's the late? Okay. So I get the time and I go, okay. And she said, I go, do I need to just wait out front or do I need to go to the office? What do I need to do? She said, well, she's in the nurse's office, so you probably have to go in and check her out.
Sure.
Okay, fine. So I pull up to the school, walking in, and first time I've been to the school this year, and I come walking in. I see the ladies that I've known for years that are behind the counter.
Imagine flow.
They look really happy and have a big smile on their face. And I go, hey, how you doing? They go, hey, you know you're at Oak Ridge Elementary? And I go, yeah, I know. Yeah. I go, Caroline's, she's got a stomach ache, so she's probably in the nurse's office. She just sits there and pauses
she's not
and goes,
elementary school anymore.
She doesn't go to school here anymore.
Wow. You went to the wrong school.
I went to the wrong
All right. Yes. School. So when did she start middle school?
This year.
Okay.
So
you, it's a couple of months at least.
Yeah, but I had to stand there in front of them just go. And the principal, Tom, walks by, and I'm like, hey.
They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to
laugh. And, of course, everybody's cracking up. And like,
did those ladies pant you and push you out of the...
God, oh my God.
You can't, but there's no even, you can't even fake an excuse. No. You just completely did a dumbass move.
Did a dumbass moron move.
Yeah.
That was it.
I had an aha moment last week, and I almost texted you about it, but I didn't want to tell you in advance. And if this is not the right time to share a stupid aha moment, let me know, and I won't. But if this is okay, I'll do it right now. You guys go with it?
Go ahead. What is this?
All right. It's just something that you guys have all understood for a long time, and I finally figured it out literally a week ago.
Oh.
We have a friend who's provided us with plenty of prizes over the years, and he runs a shop in South Philly called Steak 'Em Up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I never put two and two together that it was Steak 'Em Up.
Steak 'Em Up.
I thought it was steak. Steak 'Em.
Yeah.
Steak 'Em Up.
Steak a gangster.
Put them on a steak.
Casey, yeah.
Crucify them.
Somebody literally said, Steak 'Em Up to me. We were horsing around, and I was...
Oh, my God. Steak 'Em Up.
Yeah. Steve, I thought... I was like, oh, that's... Oh.
Yeah. How long have I been unaware?
10 years that we've known this guy, and he's terrific. I just never, ever understood the connection. And I felt like such an ass. I still feel like an ass.
There was a moment just like that on the TV show Friends, and it had been on for years. And somebody said something about, you know, the coffee shop they go to. She's like, it's right in Central Park, and it's called Central Park. And Phoebe goes, oh, I just got that.
Yeah.
Years
going
there. By the way, here's a great one. A text in says, I was exhausted and accidentally showered with my socks on.
Stop it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I love that.
Oh, that one's, that's a good one.
So there's so much that we do during the day that's robotic. You know, our second brain kicks in, basically, and just governs what we're doing that way. Mm-hmm. And that's when you end up doing things like going to the wrong school, Preston.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, it wasn't like that moronic, but I had to drive my daughter to her play. And I just turned down, so the play is at O'Hara High School.
Yeah.
I turned down Lawrence Road to go to St. Pius, but you know, like.
It's not bad.
And that was not that bad. It's not, you know, you just got on the wrong road and you know, and it was just like a little bit of a detour.
I'll tell you which would have exacerbated it had you gone home to the wrong house and made love to the wrong wife.
Yeah, that would have.
And that's a story you tell.
By the way, as far as aha moments are concerned, I found out late last week that the Eight of Diamonds, that there's actually an eight in the middle of the Eight of Diamonds. Did you guys know that?
I did not.
I don't know what you mean by
pull
that.
Pull up a graphic of the Eight of Diamonds in a playing card.
Okay.
And there's literally, you can see it.
A figure eight?
A figure eight in the middle.
I just found out that two girls in a cup, it's more of a mug.
Oh. Yeah.
Still, I just realized it was just crap.
All right, really? Let's see it.
Where do you see an eight?
Where?
Look.
I'm looking.
All right.
Look at that.
I don't see it. Where?
I don't see it.
I see it.
On the screen behind you, point.
Follow.
You mean if you were to draw lines?
You got to look at the white, not
look
the red.
Look at the white.
Look at the white, right?
Oh, yeah. Look at the, okay.
Oh, now I see what you're saying.
That's pretty cool. I thought you were saying look at the diamonds.
No. Yeah.
Diamonds.
Well, I'll look at the card differently from now on.
Diamonds. Stake them up.
Let me go to Eric. Hi, Eric. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Oh, thank that you. Hurt.
What's up, buddy?
So I'm gonna moron alert myself.
All right.
You even pre-laughed.
You're off to a good start.
All right, go ahead, Eric.
Well, I was about 10 or 11 years old in elementary school. I got grounded for something really stupid. So, like, after dinner, I fall asleep, and it had to be towards the end of the school year. So I wake up, and, you know, I get ready, and I'm ready for the next day, going to school. And as I'm walking to school, I start realizing it's getting darker and darker and darker. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell's going on here? Little did I realize, like, an adult came up to me. They're like, hey, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I was going to school. But, and they're like, well, do you realize? It turns out that I probably fell asleep for like 2 or 3 hours after dinner. Woke up around 7, 8 o'clock at night. The sun was still slightly up. So I'm like, hey, it's morning. Let's go to school. And sure enough, it's pitch black.
It happens all the time. I think it happened to Marissa. I think it's happened. Yeah, that's a standard.
Thanks, Eric.
When you don't know whether it's 5 a.m. or p.m.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. On Friday, I was a little out of it because I just had surgery and, you know, I'm on a couple medicines. And so I took a nap and I woke up and it was 4:50. And I was like, why is the sun up? It's 4:50. And so with my boyfriend, and he's like, well, you have to go to work. And I was like, is it Friday or Saturday? Like, what day is it? Like, oh, I thought it was a.m., 4:50 a.m. He's like, no, you have to go to work right now. And what he meant was, do you have to go to the calendar party?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
At 6 p.m.
Right.
In an hour. Like, I was so confused. I'm walking around. I literally walked around my apartment like 4 times. He was cracking up at me because I couldn't figure out if it was a.m. or p.m. And I was so confused because it was like just dusk. So there's a little bit of light.
Oh, yeah. But that's the worst.
Didn't you wake up after a nap and get ready for work one day and it was in the afternoon? Oh,
yeah. She texted me. She's like, I'm on my way. I'll be right there. And like an a-hole, I was like, dude, it's night. Don't worry. I should have been like, dude, drive safe. Drive safe. Get here as soon as you can, but
we have
drive
a lot
safe.
Of guests coming in.
At least once a year, that'll happen to me. And it also happens to our interns all the time. I will send like 8 emails where it's like, guys, we are off on like Columbus Day or Memorial Day or something like that, and someone will show up.
Really?
I
did not know that.
But, you know, when I was first getting started in radio, I was interning for you guys a few days a week. I was also overnight DJ, a waiter.
Male dancer.
Yeah. So I had worked in shifts, and I never, when I would wake up, I never knew what day, what time of day.
You go into a zone. There's a zone that you go into where you're just hanging on by a thread as you juggle your multiple jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been there. It's a nightmare.
Well, here's somebody who says, more on alert. I was trying to call a patient and couldn't figure out why I couldn't get the call through. I realized I was putting their date of birth.
You know, you have to use a code to get into your phone if you're not using the, you know, the facial recognition or whatever. I've started dialing the code, the phone number onto the code quite a bit. Like, instead of typing in the code to get into my phone, to unlock my phone, I've started dialing a phone number.
Do you ever have just a random repetition code that you just robotically know? It comes to you, and then, like, one day, you'll just forget it.
The
login code for our conference call.
Yes, that happens to
me.
Yes.
It was the other day, and I've dialed this in thousands. We have a conference call every day at 6 o'clock just to talk about what's going to happen on the show. In fact, it's just a repetition. I'm not even looking at the numbers. It's just the key play. And I'm like, oh my God. And I did like 30 permutations of it before I got it right. But I was like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Out of the blue do you lose that information?
Your synapse, whatever.
Right,
there's a different pathway or something in your brain and you just can't figure it out. I've had that happen with that exact same thing before many times. Here's a text that says, you ever heard wait a minute. Hold on. What? Come on.
You got to go that one.
Take a full bowel movement in the foyer?
No. You ever sit in your friend's car in the parking lot waiting for them to get in and realize you're in the wrong car? No. I've gotten in the wrong car thinking it was mine.
It was a similar model, right?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like you got into a Hummer.
No, I've done an identical model. It happened just 2 weeks ago.
I've pulled on the, like, why is my car not opening?
What's wrong with this thing?
Like, getting
did
so
it really
angry.
Start yanking on
and
it.
And then you
pick
in
up a brick.
Yeah.
Well, like, I looked in and I saw a Diet Coke in the cup holder. I'm like, I don't drink Diet
Wait
Coke.
A second. Oh, I didn't drink that.
Yeah. This is not my car. My aunt,
that's not my mustache comb.
My aunt once, after her husband passed away, got into the passenger seat of her car and sat there for a little bit and was like, that's right, I'm driving. He's gone.
Wow. That's awesome. I'll go to Gary. Hey, Gary, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Gary. What's going on, buddy?
When I was in my 20s, I lived with my parents for a while, and I was out partying one night, maybe a little too much, smoking those funny cigarettes.
Right.
And they tend to make me a bit paranoid, as they do a lot of people. So when I got home that night, I went in the house, all the lights were out, I kept them out because I didn't want to wake my parents up, and I went in the bathroom, I was all paranoid they were going to find out. I knew my eyes were bloodshot, so I opened up the medicine cabinet and grabbed what I thought was going to be Visine.
Oh, no.
In case they woke up, my eyes wouldn't be all bloodshot. No, dad's back medication.
Dad's back medication?
Well, what do they call that stuff? What's that name? Is it the name brand?
The liquid heat?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
In my eye.
Oh my God.
Well, at least you can blame your bloodshot eyes on that.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Woke up the entire house.
That's like tear gas. It's like shoving that in your eyes. So it's like spraying mace in your eyeballs. Did you have to go to the hospital?
No, I didn't. I just flushed. I kept my mother, love her, flushed my eye out over and over again. I was in a panic.
Oh, of course. Yes. It would burn like a mother.
She kept asking, you know, I ended up not having to go to the hospital or anything. It just cleared up on its own. But
you have to remember this, by the way. It's a good idea to take a look at your medicine cabinet. And I just caught something. I keep my my hemorrhoid medication right next to my pepper spray.
Yeah.
And that's going to, you know, that's an issue waiting to happen.
That could be a problem. This sounds interesting. I'm going to go to Josh. Hey, Josh, we're talking about a moron alert. Good morning.
Good morning, Kenny. So the other
thing. Yeah.
I was sitting at my desk at work, and I had to set up a date. I had to set an appointment on my calendar.
Yeah.
So I'm staring at the cubicle, at the calendar, the paper calendar on my wall, trying to get my mouse to click on the date.
And Are you serious? You're
trying to use an analog calendar the way you use a computer. I love
the same
that.
The same way I try to type my calculator to dial my phone sometimes.
Well, not the greatest. Going between like an iPad and a regular laptop, there'll be times when some of them are one and the same, but occasionally I'll be on my laptop, you know, tapping the screen like, God damn it, this thing's frozen up, but it's not the iPad. Tech is now blurring so much that you find yourself doing a lot of that.
Absolutely. And the phrase in your mind might be, why isn't this thing working?
Yeah.
You know,
why?
And what is wrong with this thing? Well, the thing is wrong with you is what the deal is. Let me go to Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Great. What's up, Jimmy?
All right. So I got a little more on alert similar to what you guys were talking about. So I lived in my house about a little over 20 years or so. And sadly, got foreclosed on, you know, But I moved into my girlfriend's house, which lives a little bit further away from my job. Well, one day, just last week, I was just so exhausted. I wanted to go home, wasn't thinking about it, and I pulled right up to my old house, and I didn't realize it as I was getting out of the car.
But I wouldn't even classify. I mean, I get that, but you lived there for 20 years, and you're just brand new in this new place.
You still feel like an idiot. I mean, I went to the wrong school. We've been going to the same school for 12 years, and it was just routine, but... I should have known.
Yeah.
I should have known.
But you were picking up your daughter, too.
The first part is people live there now. So it's like, you know, I'm hearing a stranger pulling up, and it's like, what are you guys doing in my house? But as I was getting out, I realized that, like, oh, I don't live here. So I just kind of nonchalantly get back in the car, start it up, and take off, and hope nobody saw it.
Yeah, I killed them all because I thought they were intruders. Yeah. And then I left.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't crawl into bed with them.
Yeah. But you feel like an idiot because you probably went way out of your way as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Thanks, Jimmy. In fact, speaking of going way out of the way, here's a text from a tow truck driver. He said, I had a customer take me 3.5 hours in the wrong direction because she recently moved and forgot that she lived in New Jersey now.
Oh, God. No.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yep. We're going to the wrong house.
So professionally, I had sent a series of emails out to try and get people to come to the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yes.
So I basically just composed an email that I could send to a few different outlets. The first email was composed to Nick Foles and his manager or whatever.
Right.
So the next email I sent was the same exact email, but I sent it to Carson Foles.
Carson Foles.
I hit send, and I saw Carson
Dear
Foles.
Dear Mr. Foles, I love you on the hockey rink.
My God. And then I was like, oh, let me send it again, Carson Wentz. And then maybe they'll get that one first instead of Carson Foles.
So wait a minute, you sent it to an email address as Carson?
No.
It's, so it went.
It went to AO1 Foundation requesting Carson Foles come to the Camp Out for Hunger.
I mean, like, I'll excuse when somebody sends me, you know, to the Stephen Preston show.
You're in the ballpark.
You got it in the ballpark, but Carson Foles.
But you know what? I mean, we all
Dear Donovan McNabb.
And you kind of have to understand it. Actually, Bruce Valanche, the people that that set up the interview with him said, we would love for the Inquirer to do a story on him. And that came to me, and I was like, I know what they're doing. I'm like, it's fine. Yeah, we'll book him. Yeah.
Well, gee, I hear you.
Yeah. I get him every semester from potential interns. Hi, I would love to work at your newsroom in 6ABC. I think I would be great in your newsroom.
Yep, I've gotten him sent to the wrong radio station before, but, you know, I know what you're doing. Let me see. I don't know what that means.
Neither do I.
I'm going to go to Alyssa. Hi, Alyssa. Good morning.
Hey, sorry to bother you at work.
It's all right. Alyssa, what's up?
So my 8-year-old next door neighbor was over our house, and we have like photos on our refrigerator, and she tried to zoom in on one of the pictures.
Did she take her fingers and spread them on the picture?
Yes, the same way you
look.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love it. Uh-oh. That's when digital meets analog.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-oh. How come you can't do this?
And did you have to explain it to her, Alyssa?
No, but we watched her as she realized it herself. It took longer than it should have.
Oh, my
Trying
God.
Trying to enlarge a picture with your fingers.
That's really funny.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I'm gonna maybe take another call, and then I want to switch gears, and I want to play some of this audio. This might be the only time that we have
sure,
to do
yeah,
it.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
We're stacked with guests the rest of the program, but I'm going to go to Johnny for his moron alert. Hey, Johnny, good morning. Johnny?
Joni?
Hey, Joni.
Hey. No, Tony, T-O-N-Y.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for calling, Tony. It's been great, man.
Hey, Devin.
Tony, do you have a story for us?
I do.
Go ahead.
So I'm moving. I live in Wilmington, Delaware, and we're moving. We're getting new Bilco doors, right? So I had to remove all these wires that were blocking the entranceway to the door. And I came home the other night. I was really tired, and I started snipping wires left and right. I come inside to go online, and the internet's not working. Here, I cut the cord to my own cable.
Oops.
Oh, man.
I've done something stupid like that before.
I live in mortal fear because I do all the wiring on, you know, I can do all the wiring on the stereo systems and all that stuff, and I do it. So, but I've heard too many stories of people cutting their own cable, their own phone wires, you know.
You know what I did one time is this freaking fire or smoke alarm.
Yeah.
Was just constantly giving us grief.
And chirping?
It would chirp. Yeah, which you just can't sleep when that happens. And I replace the battery, blah, 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 this and that. And then it would still do it from time to time. So screw this, man. I'm getting rid of this thing. So I take it down out of the ceiling, and there's wires running up in there. I'm like, I don't care. Boom. I cut the wires. I take them off. It's linked to the entire house.
Yeah. Oh,
no. All of the smoke alarms.
Right.
So I essentially destroyed our entire smoke detection system
because
in the
of
house.
A bip.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then the old,
I didn't know.
Yeah.
You guys ever sit at a stop sign waiting for it to turn green?
Oh, all the time. Okay. Yep. So there is, my wife and I firmly contend that there was a stop light that they turned into a stop sign because both she and I sit there at the stop sign waiting for it to turn. I'm like, is it just me? And she goes, no, I do the same thing.
What are you doing?
Wait for the light to turn. Wait for the sign to turn. A guy's driving over right now with the go sign.
All right. Anyway, well, at the beginning of this, moron alert, you joked and said, did you fraudulently set up a GoFundMe account?
Yes.
No, that's not what I did. But there is some audio that has come out. So Kate McClure, the gal in this whole scenario with Johnny Bobbitt and the guy D'Amico, D'Amico, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce his last name. So her lawyer is now saying that she is a victim in this whole thing and that it was mainly the boyfriend, D'Amico's idea to do this.
And he was the mastermind.
And he was a mastermind behind it, and that she is went in under the guise of, yes, We're gonna flub this a little bit. We're gonna fudge it a little bit and get this guy Johnny some money.
But we're gonna help him.
We're gonna make up the thing about the gas, but we're gonna get money for him. So that's the story that's being portrayed.
We're gonna con people for good.
But
right.
They didn't think it was gonna be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
They were hoping to raise a couple of grand or something. 10, I think, was what they had put on there, and it got away from them. So anyhow, she has somehow or another, this was from 6ABC, I believe. They got audio. She was recording audio of him secretly.
Which?
I know.
I thought you couldn't do that.
Well, I agree.
Oh, they're in Jersey.
Okay,
maybe there are different laws about recording someone without their knowledge.
That's what it is.
I don't know. It's worth listening to because she's claiming she's a pawn. However, we do know for a fact that there are many text messages where she's talking about this is a secret, and I want the effing money, and all of this stuff that implicates her as being more than just a dupe, a willing participant, but they claim, no, she was manipulated.
Also, I mean, this is a criminal case. Why? I know we're going to listen to the audio, and this probably isn't what we're going to talk about, but why is the lawyer putting this out there?
They're trying to muddy it.
I know, but just shush and bring it to court then. You know, shush.
Because
like she said.
You know what? Because they probably, first off, it's probably going to be inadmissible, A. B.
Oh, really?
I don't think it really saves her case or makes a case for her being an innocent.
No, I know,
in
but
it.
It's just like, it doesn't make sense why they're still talking but to the media.
But I mean, here's what it does say, Preston, is that somewhere into this, she thought, I'm going to record it just in case I need to. They were already plotting against each other.
Yeah, maybe.
When the money started to get excessive.
Yeah.
All I know is we have audio. Okay.
Yeah.
And so let's check this out. I've only heard some of it, and I don't know exactly what it, but it's pretty clear. Here we go.
Started the whole thing. You did everything.
You started the whole thing. You did everything.
I had no part in any of this, and I'm the one taking the fall.
Here, talk into this lapel.
Right, okay.
So, talk into this flower.
I'm sorry, when was this recorded?
We don't know.
I think, because I listened to some of the other recordings and some of the reports that were on Good Morning America. I think it was after Johnny Bobbitt brought the civil case against them. So this is when it all started to go down, because you can hear her say something along the lines of, you heard what he said, this could be jail time.
And she also goes on to say, President, because she knew there on a GMA, she said, I wonder what George Stephanopoulos would think of this.
Now, let me play the other clips. Here we go. This is the second one.
You don't go to jail for lying on TV, you dumb.
You heard what he said. If this turns into a criminal thing...
You don't go to jail for lying on TV.
But who made me lie on TV?
Who cares?
By the way, I think dumb F is a pet name.
They curse a lot.
Yeah. Might be. And then here's the only other clip we have. Here we go. What did he say? Can you tell?
One more time.
How much did you spend
in Vegas?
In Cali.
$2,500. And then she says, I think $3,700 or something.
How much did you spend in Cali?
$2,500. And then he says $3,700.
Hang on a second. $3,700. So just right there is $40,000. Now you're going to talk about everything else? Like, you act like you didn't spend a dollar. Stop.
I'm not acting like that. Stop. I never said that I didn't spend a dollar.
So she's saying she's not denying that she spent the money.
Right.
I guess they're trying to do everything they can to at least mitigate her case a bit. But
she's freaking out that she might go to jail.
Yes. But I mean, Kathy, lest we forget those texts where her friend says, you know, this, you're in it. You've got to do something, and she says, I don't care. I'm keeping the money. F you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Shush.
I'd have to go back and read exactly.
That seems
what
to
that was.
Me to suggest that it's not cut and dry that she was a victim of manipulation.
I don't know. It would depend on when that was.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting on a jury, you have to hear these timelines.
Well, you've just done jury duty, so you know. Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass, man. It is a pain in the ass deciphering all through that stuff.
I tell you what. This would be a cool case to sit in on.
Yeah,
you had insurance for it.
My head would explode trying to keep those facts straight. Yeah. And you know what's funny is when I was doing the jury duty, I'm coming up with my own conclusions in my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm also thinking, clearly everyone else sitting here is thinking the same thing that I am, because it looks pretty obvious to me.
No.
But when we got into deliberations, I'm like, You don't believe
what?
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How could you not? You know what
we
I mean?
We all it's have crazy. That hubris, though. Well, surely everyone thinks the way I do. I thought a bold move is you getting up and questioning the witness. Your Honor, if I may. It's all right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a broadcaster.
I know what I'm doing here.
Hi, people.
Where were you on the night of October 25th?
Is that all the audio you have?
That's it.
Because there's a point where there's some sort of like scuffle or something in the background, and it sounds like he may grab her or something, and she starts crying.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard there's an extra bit of audio where it sounds like there's a chicken singing F U.
That's No, that's not.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure that there's one part. Wait, it sounds like a group of chickens. Do you have that, Casey?
Was it Gnarls Barkley? Who was it?
No, it's Gnarls Barkley.
The singer from Gnarls Barkley.
CeeLo?
CeeLo.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, well, we have the audio. Yeah. Let me hear it.
Here it is.
This is clear.
Very clear. Clearer than the other.
Clear. Huh. Yeah, I hear it.
Oh, I hear it now.
Yep. I would use this in court. To show that a certain levity.
Yeah, that she's human.
Yeah.
For crying
Your Honor, I'd like to present to you a course of singing chickens, which I believe will exonerate my client.
Your Honor, we would like to call Gene Simmons to the witness stand, please.
It's clear these chickens are enjoying what they're doing, and were complicit in the act of bilking the GoFundMe donors out of money. What's Gene Simmons doing here? I'm a big fan of chickens. I think it's a good protein source for any salad and a quick meal on the go. Huh. These court proceedings have run away from us.
Really? Nothing to do with the
trial. So the lawyer, though, is saying that it was, and I believe he used the term, an abusive relationship.
Well, yeah, so that was I think, probably where he got, I guess, why he made that comment, because there is that audio.
They'll have to go a good length to prove that it was so abusive that she, and listen, this is not, you know, we all feel very betrayed by this by this deal. And obviously, the good part is that GoFundMe has already, I believe, instituted proceedings to pay back everyone who donated.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think everyone's going to be very reticent to believe that she was robotically doing what he told her.
They're all going down.
To one extent or another.
Exactly. If the chickens have their way.
Well, but I think that... I think that obviously her lawyer is going to try to lessen the blow as much as possible for her. Sure. And that may be the case. She may get less than the other two.
Thank you for the text, by the way, that says this is from the Muppets movie.
Is it really?
Yeah, this is not actual audio.
No.
Yeah.
We have a source at NBC 10.
I didn't know.
Oh, man.
And we were just saying who originally did the song was CeeLo, but it's the chickens that are the ones that are performing this particular song. So.
Very talented chickens.
Yes, exactly. For a good meal on the go. Okay, and with that, we shall take a break. I do want to remind you, we have a new Daily Rush video that is up and running. And it's called Preston is Packing a Flounder. Kathy gives Preston tips on cleaning his dirty ass and how to use a butt tampon. You can watch that now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So check that out when you get a chance. We're going to take a quick break. Coming back in a moment, the B-File is up next, and Bruce Valanche is going to be here this morning, as well as other guests we'll tell you about when we return. Stay there.
2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly and the best fans a radio station could ever have. We've been doing this special weekend thing all year and hope you've enjoyed the trip with us one year at a time. For this final weekend in the series, we'll journey back to the very beginning and focus on 1968 and 69, our first year and a half, including what started it all, the Marconi experiment. We saw man land on the moon. Elvis make a comeback on TV, and the Beatles' last public performance on the roof of Apple Records. Oh, and that whole Woodstock thing. At MMR, the DJs had new music from Jimi Hendrix, the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, Cream, the Doors, Pink Floyd, The Who, CSNY, The Animals, and so many more from 1968 and 69. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Benari Jewelers in Exton and Newtown Square.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
You know what I'll do in preparation for the parade? I'll just fatten up a little bit.
That's all I gotta do.
Our friends from Hatfield Meats are here this morning, and they brought some great food. If I eat enough of it, it might help me out. But I want to thank Chef Jen, because she made some really great food. Breakfast fried rice, which has some butternut squash in it, some kale, some ham.
It's really, really good.
And pit ham and pomegranate fig glaze with slider rolls.
So pitted.
Damn good. It's so pitted. And she brought some kale slaw and mac and cheese and ham and cheese corn muffins. I mean, really, really good stuff. So their meats come in a variety of sizes, flavors, and cuts. Their uncured ham is a perfect 2-pound portion that is nitrate and nitrite free. So you can check them out at simplyhatfield.com. Let's mention one quick thing before we do the bizarre file, because we made this announcement the other day. In case we need to get word on when we're going to start doing giveaways for this. Okay. But it's the Preston and Steve Christmas Miracle 2018. This is the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. So if you end up getting on board and winning passes, make sure you wear your ugly sweater because you can win some extra prizes. But it'll be Thursday, December 20th. Just kind of a save the date type of thing until I get the go-ahead on giveaways. But you have to win your way in, and you need to know a thing or two about the Preston and Steve show in order to be a winner. If you get randomly chosen out of the crowd, it's game show style.
Yes.
Got to know your trivia about the show.
New bigger room, new bigger presentation, the whole damn deal.
Parks Casino inside the new Excite Center. So we're wonderfully excited about all the new possibilities, and it's presented by Parks Casino. Get lucky in no time. Miller Lite. Remember, it's Miller time. Stay true. So we'll get you all that information very, very soon. Let's do the B-File.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning it's brought to you by Patient First. Physicians, x-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. Visit patientfirst.com. A man who had his life transformed after getting a $100,000 bionic penis revealed that he was trapped in the house for 3 weeks after the surgery with a constant Woody.
Really?
Yes. Andrew Wardle appeared on This Morning Today in Britain.
No Buzz Lightyear?
To chat about the life-changing surgery after he was born with an extremely rare condition that meant that he was born with his bladder on the outside of his body.
Ooh, that's uncomfortable.
One testicle and no penis. However, this is amazing that they could do this. After 5 years of surgery, doctors have created one for him, and now he is looking to start a family with his wife, Fedra Fabian.
Fedra Fabian, who was just recently blown into the other apartment.
The procedure, technically called phalloplasty,
yes,
was first proposed in 2010 and officially started taking place in 2015. Now complete, he was also able to finally have relations with his wife for the first time after years of associating the act with pain.
Yes, and his penis can run 60 miles an hour.
The bionic penis has a pressure button to get it working. Explaining the procedure, Andrew revealed that he had skin, nerve, and muscle grafts from his arm and back.
Wow.
He said the skin comes from your arm with the muscle, and they take nerves and veins from your back all over the place, really. He said, I'm completely shocked to see what they can build.
Scratch my back.
He revealed, in order to complete the procedure and to ensure that everything in it stretched correctly,
oof,
he was left in pain and housebound for 3 weeks as he was left with a three-week-long, you know, Woody. He said it was very uncomfortable. I had to stay in it basically for 3 weeks, but they had to do that in order to stretch everything out, you know, so it's normal.
So what was he... There's a whole series of issues he'd have to deal with. Just basic urination would require you to kind of get prone over the toilet.
Yeah, I don't know. But he revealed that he finally was able to have sex with his wife in an intimate moment together at their home. Listen to this. Fedra said, it only lasted around 30 minutes.
Really? 30 minutes?
30 minutes.
Forget that.
Dear Lord.
Wow. Yeah.
Way to set the bar.
Yeah.
You know?
I was really nervous to...
He is the bar.
I was really nervous not to cause any pain, which is usually the other way around, isn't it? And it was just really magical, so because we know each other very well, so this was the cherry on top.
Literally.
For a 30-minute session. Authorities in South Carolina are hoping to identify a man disguised in bunny ears in connection with stolen deer cameras.
The old story.
Yeah, the sheriff's office posted...
Looks like the work of the bunny ear bandit.
The sheriff's office posted photos to social media that show several people described as persons of interest in the case. The sheriff's office needs your assistance in identifying the subjects captured on surveillance in photos, the post said. Bonus points if you can identify the bunny. Several people commented on the man's bunny disguise, which was at one point called the worst disguise ever. So he's stealing cameras used for deer.
Yeah, you can see his face completely.
In the wild, but he's wearing pink bunny ears for some reason. A hunter was rescued from his tree stand 40 feet in the air Monday morning after he fell backward and got stuck hanging upside down.
Oh, man.
He was working his way up the tree at about 7 a.m. when he slipped off the stand and his feet became caught in the rigging. The hunter had not yet connected his safety harness to the tree when he fell back, making his stuck feet the only thing preventing him from falling to the ground. And in fact, it pretty much saved his life.
And then the deer found out.
Right. And then they, then they got him.
Oh, this is perfect.
The man managed to
big man.
It's called 911, and rescue crews found him at 7:25 a.m. about a half a mile into the woods.
Now, I don't hunt, but I would, the idea one of these stands up in a tree seems kind of cool.
It seems really cool.
It does, right?
Absolutely.
It's basically like having a tree fort.
Yeah. The man's coat slid off during the slip, exposing him to the cold weather. Temperatures there at the time were recorded at about 25 to 30 degrees.
They're not that expensive.
Given the location and precarious nature of how the man was hanging, the technical rescue team was called to get him down. And
cut the tree down.
While crews worked on a plan, a firefighter scaled the tree and secured him to it with safety rope in case his stand gave way. The hunter told rescuers that he had lost all feeling in his legs and he would be unable to climb down himself. Rescue crews and medical staff kept him warm on the tree.
After that, though, he did have a three-week boner. So.
And they rigged a rope system to get him to safety and down to the ground.
If you've ever been upside down or, you do a handstand for a little bit, it starts to, becomes painful.
Yep. Casey, we have audio of this. See if you can find this for me. A parrot squawking impersonation of a smoke alarm led to firefighters being called out to a home. A crew arrived at the property after the alarm was heard three times. Well, they cleaned out a smoke detector at the home, but they heard the noise again. And the crew discovered the alarm noise was coming from one of two pet birds impersonating the sound. And we have audio. I haven't heard this yet, so here we go. That's a bird.
And the other bird's singing the music.
That is a bird.
Isn't that wild? Doing that. That's spot on.
So dumb.
A spokesman. What's that?
So dumb.
Oh, it's a bird. I forgot.
Wait till it does Christopher Walken.
I forgot.
There's a fire in the house. And I just took a dump on newspaper.
A spokeswoman said, we've never had that happen before. It was amazing, she said.
The fact that they can replicate those sounds,
yeah,
it just blows me away.
Yeah, she said it appeared that the smoke alarm had gone off incorrectly for the first time and then was twice mimicked by one of the birds. You want one more bird story, Kathy?
Please. Please. She's such a fan.
I hope it's...
There is a jewel-encrusted pigeon looking for a home.
All right.
I knew it. The Arizona Republic reports someone found the fine feathered friend near an intersection last week and brought it to a rescue center. And apparently it was wearing a little vest with all these little like bedazzled things on there, little rhinestones and so forth.
So we know that it was obviously in the pigeon chorus.
And they were wondering, they questioned, is he Liberace or the rhinestone cowboy? It was more hysterical than anything. The organization posted the picture.
But the vest served a purpose, right? It was like a pigeon diaper, apparently.
Yes, exactly. It would hold, so it wouldn't poop and all. So it was a domesticated animal.
Right, with a little bit of flair.
A woman found the bird on her back patio. It wouldn't fly away. She said that she took it to the bedazzled bird to Kieran's rescue last Sunday because she was worried an animal would eat him.
Do vests occur in nature?
He was in her back patio, and he kept coming up to the sliding glass door looking like he wanted to come in. Kieran says it's not uncommon for people to keep pigeons as pets.
I know elk will sometimes fashion cummerbunds.
She claims the pigeon appeared friendly and well taken care of by the owner, and apparently it perches comfortably on your shoulder, which is something that birds won't do in the wild. So, yeah, they're trying to track down this person who had the vest. It was the vest reportedly catches and holds bird droppings so they don't get all over a house.
So you assume it would have to be changed, though, right?
I would think so, yeah. Did you just find a picture of it, Kathy?
No, I haven't seen it. She's ordering one.
It's pretty classic. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Looks like we are going to give away some beer. How about this, man? I have a case of Yards Brawler, 16-ounce pounders.
We'll nice.
Caller number 17 at 215-263-WMMR. Yards Brawler beer is 4.2% ABV. Smooth and malty and the perfect flavor profile. When you're tired of pumpkin spiced everything, you can pick up a case of pounders at the beer shop in Ardmore. Caller 17 if you're at least 21 years of age. We're going to set you up at that. 215-263-WMMR is the number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Bruce Valanche will be in our studio. Tell you about the show based on his book and where and when you can get tickets and all that stuff. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Alexa. Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
Even if you don't know our next guest, you know our next guest. He wrote the Oscars for 23 years. He's a guy behind a lot of stuff that you've heard and seen over the years.
Legendary stuff.
Six-time Emmy Award winner. His birthday is in 3 days.
Yes.
He's excited about that, I'm sure. And his show, A Sign of the Times, is premiering on the 28th at the Delaware Theater Company. Please welcome Mr. Bruce Phelan.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you to the show.
Nice.
The original Pit Ham.
The original Pit Ham right here in our studio. I didn't even mention the Hollywood Squares, of course, where you spent a number of years.
I did. 6 years to the left of Whoopi, if that's possible.
Yeah.
That's right. These days, it'd be very difficult to get to the left of Whoopi. You know, Bruce, I have to say, a lot of times we meet people, and I'm like, I hope they are the way we want them to be. And this is a compliment. You are Bruce Valanche, and it's awesome.
Thank you.
Yes, very cool.
Because I'm frequently mistaken for Michael Moore.
Really?
Yeah. He would wear red glasses.
Yes, he doesn't have your fashion sense.
And I've never had a baseball hat on in my life, you know.
Yeah.
Even when I played baseball.
Michael Moore. Well, there you go.
I know, I get that. And Amy Schumer. I get her. Hey, just because she's pregnant, I'm convinced. Okay. That's the only reason.
And you're wearing a classic T-shirt. One of your classic T-shirts.
I'm wearing
Bruce Valanche. Yes.
Oh, it tells a story. So you have to really kind of see. It's different kinds of asses. Jack, kick, dumb,
badass,
and smart. Yes. You know,
it's, I like it. Hey, about the red glasses. How many sets do you have? At home, on the go?
Yeah. When I was on Squares, I had different glasses for every show.
Yeah. Okay.
I had hundreds of pairs of glasses. And
You had a sponsor of sorts?
That was the problem.
You were picking up the cost.
I was doing it. And when the prescription changed,
I
realized I had to take a second mortgage. So I settled on red because Sally Jesse Raphael, who was the red glasses queen, had retired. And so I thought, okay, I've got this market open. And I have just a few.
Okay.
I keep looking for exotic red glass frames.
Well, we're thrilled you're here because it's A Sign of the Times is your musical.
It is.
And I think the idea of being able to see a musical, you know, on its way to Broadway is an awesome thing. It's almost like seeing a director's cut of something.
That's,
you know,
true.
And you're getting all of that stuff that goes into making theater wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And so just let us in on what the whole concept behind A Sign of the Times is.
It's a musical about a girl in Columbus, Ohio in 1965 who goes to New York and walks into the world of Mad Men. And she, of course, is objectified and, you know, taken advantage of and has all these adventures. And by the end of the show, she's become one of the early feminists. So it's about a woman finding herself. And when we started doing it, we had no idea that Me Too was actually going to happen.
Right.
And when Me Too happened, we suddenly realized, oh, my God, we're relevant. Holy shit. Is this allowed for a musical? Can you be relevant?
Yeah.
However, the music is all from Petula Clark from the mid-60s.
And
it's all of Petula's catalog. She didn't write it, but it's all of her stuff. And so it's all familiar music. So I ask people to think Mamma Mia. Please think Mamma Mia. Don't think Mamma Mia 2 necessarily.
Right, right.
Mamma Mia 1, you can certainly think. Because it's all songs that you know in a story that's brand new.
Well, when you started, your desire, reading about you and about your early days, you wanted to basically be Neil Simon. You wanted to,
I did. I wanted to be Zero Mostel. I wanted to be, you know, one of those Jackie Gleason with the fat comic. because I was a fat kid, and I thought, this is funny. I could be this, like, the sidekick of the girl or whatever. And I was a child actor.
A model for Lane Bryant?
I was a model for Lane Bryant. I was a charming chub.
A charming
Lane Bryant, you know, specializes in large women.
Right.
And there apparently were not enough of them. So they went into a large child line.
Okay.
And I was one of the poster child, the large child.
You could not get away with that classification these days.
Charming chub. Stout, that was the other
stylish
one.
Stylish stout. Yeah,
you graduated. Then I became a husky.
Yes.
You know, which is neither man nor boy. It's just you in that nether world where nothing fits you.
True, yeah.
So I was a child model and I was a child actor, but I was never a child star, or we'd be having this conversation in rehab. So I kind of moved into writing and I began that as a career, and I've never stopped performing. In fact, I'm performing while I'm here plugging Saturday night in Peddler's Village.
Oh, it's
at the Cock and Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have all kinds of shows.
I have some acquaintance, too. I will be at the Cock and Bowl on Saturday night, 8:30 in Peddler's Village, telling stories and doing my one-man extravaganza, which is about all the stuff I've done in show business.
Which is voluminous. And so it is voluminous.
It's a ridiculous career.
But it's funny because by in a circuitous way, you got to where you wanted to be.
I know. Yeah. I figured that. Well, you know, that was how Woody Allen and Mel Brooks did it.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, I mean, I could see you could just be an annoying Jewish person like me and become a big actor. Well, that hasn't happened. I mean, I did Hairspray for 2 years. I became a big actress.
Right. So. Which is a great, so, you know, a musical, and as of late on TV, they've been presenting them, I think,
they do them live.
They do them live, and I think a lot of people have been turned on to. I love going to see musicals. I love going to see my one issue with many of the, and we talked about this, Preston, is that the theaters that you go to see them in were constructed, many of them, like in the turn of last century,
sure.
And the seats were made for people of that time.
That is true.
And my knees are on someone else's head as you watch it. It's uncomfortable, but. You know, when you go and see it, and you see an actual, we were over in London and saw a live theater.
Yeah, I went to see it.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah, the play that goes wrong. And
that's hysterical.
It was so much fun.
It really is.
I love going to live shows. I don't do it nearly enough, but it's such a great experience. And it's got to be for the people on stage. It has to be.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about people saying that theater is where they would even, you know, this is the real feeling.
Right.
I get that. I totally get that.
Sure. It's live and it's connecting with an actual real person up there, and it's on an intimate scale. So, I mean, even when it's big, it's still on a more intimate scale than film or going to a hockey arena for a concert.
There's a different vibe. So you got started. You were working, I guess, were you writing for the Chicago Tribune?
I was writing for the Chicago Tribune. I met Bette Midler, who was starting out. She was on Broadway in Fiddler on the Roof. Playing one of the daughters.
Are you kidding?
No, she was at Cycle.
This is before the. So she was doing the other stuff on the side, right?
Right. Well, she would go to a little club, mm-hmm. and do stuff afterwards, and then she came to Chicago to do that act, and that was when I met her. Somebody told me I should go see her, and I wrote about her, and I wrote a column, and she liked the column. She said, "You're funny." I said, "Well, you should talk more on stage." And she said, "You got any lines?" And that was the beginning.
That you were off and running
from the Paleozoic period.
No
I started
kidding.
Writing, and then she went. And she couldn't get a gig, so she answered an ad in one of the show business magazines in New York to sing at a gay bathhouse.
Yes,
a Turkish bath, and that was that kind of
the legend was born.
Well, she became kind of a destination resort.
Yeah, so when Barry Manilow came into the picture,
that was when Barry was her piano. Barry came into the picture on the very first night at the Tubbs, which was what we call the baths at the Tubbs. When her piano player came down with mono. Remember mono?
Yeah, I do remember mono.
You know, it was such a pleasant
disease.
You got it. You got it. It got cured. It wasn't,
right.
But you know, he got mono. So now you know everything's deadly. Right?
Right.
And it was, okay, it's mono. Don't kiss me. You won't get mono. Okay. So he got mono, and he called Barry, who was a friend of his. And Barry came and subbed, and he had no idea. You know, he was just sitting playing at the piano and looking at her, and there's a little video, and he's like, his mouth is just agape. But what's going on?
Well,
and he signed on. He said afterwards, he said, "I'm going to be a music director. That's it. You're too good. I can't let go of you."
People don't remember that her show and that the presentation at that time was just she was telling stories, and she had the sass and the whole thing. And then so you also worked on Divine.
I
Madness.
Did all of the stuff. Yeah, I Midlerized everything.
Midlerized everything.
Yeah.
And so you're
to this day
off and running. Writing, you've written for so many other comedians, and and you became, heck, there was a documentary called Get Bruce.
That's right? True.
Yeah.
I know, produced by Harvey Weinstein.
What?
Who never laid a hand on me. Really. Screw me, too. Why not me? That's my
Why
hashtag.
Not me?
Oh my really?
God. I didn't even put that together, but yeah, I guess that's the case.
Come on with the open bathrobe. I'm here.
I wanted to ask about writing for the Oscars telecast. Are you the one that's responsible for the celebrities that come up and you know have to read a few lines?
I do a lot of that. Yeah.
Now, with that, have you seen great lines have you written just destroyed by somebody who couldn't deliver it properly?
Yeah.
Had to have, right?
Yeah, it happens.
It just
all the
happens.
Time. It's, well, you know, most of these movie stars are not used to being working live.
Right.
I mean, the whole Warren Beatty Faye Dunaway thing. I mean, Warren has rarely done anything where he didn't do a second take.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was stuck up there with that. But it's that the problem is they don't really know who they are when they're on stage. They haven't got there's no Keanu Reeves persona.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
I mean, there's no Johnny Depp persona. Right. I mean, Johnny Depp hasn't played the palace as Johnny Depp. You know, it's like Billy Crystal knows who he is when he's on stage, and
right.
Whoopi knows who she is, and I used to say Shirley MacLaine knows who she is, and she knows who she was. So
right.
it's much, much easier.
Yeah.
But so that's generally that's when those things happen. You try not to give them stuff that they can go down in flames with. Sometimes they want to do that. They want to show you it. My worst was when was Keanu actually, because we tried to do a Bill and Ted thing. You know?
Okay,
I mean, and these. Like,
do you remember the joke that he botched?
I don't.
You
know, it's blocked from, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, analysts have built swimming pools on the money I've spent blocking this joke. Yeah.
Right.
So
I can imagine, though, because and as things have gotten over the years and the ratings have steadily declined for the Academy Awards, just because there's just a lot more on to watch
yeah.
and people forget about it and they shift it around. But the focus of the planet was on, especially when you did, for example, the year that City Slickers won and Palance did the one on push-up. You were riffing with Billy Crystal and creating all those lines that were coming up, and it was one of the high watermarks in Oscars telecast history.
We won an Emmy for that.
Yeah,
one.
And just amazing.
That was why it's very meta to win an Emmy for an Oscar. I've done it twice, and it gets more meta as you go along.
It is weird when you'll see the director of the Oscars win an Emmy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's just a weird thing.
Right. And then proposed to his girlfriend.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right.
But so over the years, writing on that and the different encounters and the backstage stuff, how kinetic is it? How much is done on the fly? I assume that was a rarity where you had that opportunity.
Ever since then, we planned on things. I mean, you discover that the host is on pretty much once in every act of the show.
Right.
And there are about 18 acts of the thing. So maybe you'll skip an act. So you see where the host is in the show, what they're following.
Right, right.
And so you have an idea. If you put the host after documentary, and let's say Michael Moore is nominated, the odds are something will happen during that award presentation
right.
that the host can comment on, which is exactly what happened with Steve Martin that year when Michael won and they began booing him because he did some Iraq joke or a reference to the war, and the stagehands began booing him, and Steve came on. We were sitting in the wings.
Sure.
And we said, well, we have to do something with this. And so we all began throwing jokes, and it was a great group that year. Rita Rudner was one of the writers.
Wow.
And Dave Barry was one of the writers, and we were just shouting jokes at Steve. And so Michael Moore left the stage, and there was a commercial, and Steve came out after the commercial and said, so sweet backstage, and the stagehands are helping Michael Moore into the trunk of his car.
And that's got to be a – there's got to be – that's theater.
That's my absolute favorite that was not on the Oscar, was on the Tony Awards.
Okay.
Okay.
And it was because CBS carries the Tonys, they want CBS TV stars to be on.
Right.
So, of course, they said we had to have LL Cool J, when you think Broadway, you think LL Cool J.
Because he's on NCIS Los Angeles.
Exactly right. Big CBS star.
Right, yeah.
And he's hosted the Grammys. He's hosted Grammys for years. So anyway, so we had LL Cool J. And so we put him with Carol Channing.
Because
we thought, what two people would you want to see more than LL Cool J and Carol Channing?
Brilliant.
And I thought, well, this will be funny. I'll give Carol a rap to do with LL Cool J. So we wrote her a rap, and I told him LL, and he thought it was a very funny idea. And she thought, oh, I think that's hysterical. And then we got there, and of course she said, well, you know, I haven't learned yet.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But it's in the prompter, isn't it?
Oh,
and I said, yes. Well, I can't read the prompter without my – I won't wear my glasses. And she put on these glasses, and she had these gangster glasses.
Right, yeah.
Huge square frames with, like, tint in them.
Yeah.
And she was wearing what could pass for bling. And LL said, well, just go out. You look great. Just go out. You know, look like you're in my posse. And so the two of them went out there, and they did it together, and it was – very funny. I mean, she really did it great. It was a huge thing. Hugh Jackman was the host that year.
Yeah.
And after, again, there was a commercial after the award, and then Hugh came out, and he said, this just in, Carol Channing has been arrested in a drive-by shooting.
You gotta love that. Yeah. And so, Colin, you were actually, do you like, because I know music is you've written lyrics, and do you, in fact, write music as well?
I write lyrics. Okay. I don't write music.
So, in fact, when Bette Midler, the second to the last Carson Tonight Show, you wrote that song.
Well, I wrote it with Mark Shaiman.
Right.
Who's, you know, a composer, lyricist, who wrote Hairspray. And we've been a team for years with Bette.
You Made Me Watch You was the name of the song? Or is it
You Made Me Watch You. You Made Me Love You, turn it into You Made Me Watch You.
That's right. To be a part of, and you've been a part of a number of pivotal, that's always references one of the
great
just
TV
landmark
moments.
TV moments.
Is. Yeah, it is. She won an Emmy for that, actually. She won. A lot of people don't remember is that was the last, like the next to the last Carson show on Friday. And on Monday, Jay Leno took over the show and Billy Crystal was the guest. And Mark and Billy wrote a parody of that.
Yeah.
The parody of the parody.
I remember You Made Me Watch You. I didn't want to do it. My agent really blew it.
Right.
So it was hilarious. I remember that vividly. And you wrote that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Co-wrote it.
Does it amaze you when you think about the way things have changed with the when something would happen like that, like that moment or the Palance moment at the Oscars or things that you were directly involved with, the vast numbers of people watching at once. We'll never have a time like that.
Well, that's part of the thrill of writing the Oscars. It's like playing in the Super Bowl. I mean, if you're going to play football, you want to be in the Super Bowl. And the Oscars is the Super Bowl of that kind of stuff. And it's live. And the bizarre thing about that show is people who don't go to the movies watch it.
Yeah.
People who don't watch television watch it. I mean, you have an audience, a large percentage of whom have no idea what you're talking about. when you say, when you're referencing the movies of the year, you say, Mahershala Ali, they have no idea who you're talking about.
Right.
And so that's the challenge, is to keep them entertained, mm-hmm. along with the people in the theater who were, of course, so nervous. You know, I mean, as I've said before, the... what people forget is that there are five nominees in each category, and one person wins, and four of them don't.
Yeah.
So, and as the evening progresses, the room fills up with losers.
It's true.
And they're bitter. They're bitter, and they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you'll do a great joke, and they're sitting there, and they're wondering, I got to fire that guy. I would have won if this guy come through for another. I'm going to call. Now they can do it. They can sit there, and they can text people.
On their
they
phone.
They can fire them as they're sitting there on national television. Texting away. So it's become...
That's an interesting dynamic,
So what that means is that you're not going to get the full attention of the crowd.
Sure.
If you're just jumping in, it's Bruce Valanche is our guest in the studio, and his musical, A Sign of the Times, based on his book... it is based on a book, correct? Am I right?
No, it's an original.
No, it's not based on a book. Okay, sorry. Premieres on the 28th at the Delaware Theater Company. If you want to get tickets, it's asignofthetimes.com. And Nick, you had a question.
Yeah, Bruce, are you not on social media? And if so, why not?
I'm on Facebook.
Okay, yeah.
I twat not.
Yeah.
You don't twat?
I don't twat. Yeah. I don't twat. I don't Instagram. I don't take pictures. I'm not that big a narcissist. It was a thrill to me to discover that after all these years. But if I really was a narcissist, I probably wouldn't look like this.
It's just interesting.
It's an interesting point, though, yeah.
A comedian who is avoiding social media on a lot of levels, and it's I admire it a little bit.
I find it just people get into trouble on it, and yeah, I don't want to pick fights with strangers. I have family for that.
Yeah.
and this is, you know, coming up Thanksgiving, the family fight holiday of the year, you know, where everybody gets to you know, be mad at everybody else and blame it on the tryptophan.
Yeah, no, it gets amped up exponentially. But let me ask you, with the cast that's involved in this production that people will see, 28th at the Delaware Theater Company, is this the cast that will pour it over to Broadway?
Well, hopefully, if we go to Broadway after that. This is a pilot production we're going to see. It might get a little bit bigger for Broadway.
How hard is that process at any given time? I know we talk about like TV pilots and so on and so forth.
Mm.
Now you have a pedigree attached to your name, and that's you know, that's something. do you will that you know, is it likely you'll end up on Broadway?
It depends on the producer.
Okay.
It's an independent producer from Chicago, and this production is the Delaware Theater Company production.
Right.
So we will see what happens with it. We did a lab production up in Connecticut at Goodspeed, which is a theater lab that does a lot of new musicals. And we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, when Delaware, we did a workshop in New York, and Delaware expressed an interest in doing the show, and I thought, well, fabulous.
Yeah.
And Sheryl Crow had done a musical there. She did a musical of Diner, the old Barry Levinson
love
movie.
Levinson. Yeah.
And I called Sheryl, and she said, oh, do it. They're great. It's a fabulous theater. The audiences are wonderful in Wilmington, and you'll learn a lot about your show doing it.
That's very
now,
cool.
Now, Diner hasn't gone on yet. It will.
Yeah.
It will, and hopefully so will we. But it's great that there's an audience in Wilmington and, in you know, as I drove up here from Wilmington, so I got to see everything from, chicken farms to convents to everything.
Right? Yes.
I mean, we took a very exotic route.
Sure.
Through the back hills. There was a banjo player in a tree looking at me lovingly. And so the audience from this part of the woods is obviously really special, and they show up. They come to the theater.
That's awesome.
So I'm looking forward
to this,
it.
So this show takes place in around 1965.
Yeah.
I took an Uber the other night, and the guy that was driving, we started talking, and he was talking about his past, and he was drafted in the Vietnam War, and I know that this is part of this, or at least it was in that era.
Yeah.
So you were around, you're turning,
yeah,
no big secret, you're turning 70 in a few days.
Yeah.
were you ever, thinking, huh, I could be sent off if they call my
always
number.
I mean I was drafted. There was a lottery, and my number was 151, and they got to it, and we had to go down and take the physical and do all of that, and then we weren't called up. I did what was called checking the box. There was a box of questions, and it said, are you a practicing homosexual?
Yeah.
And I wrote a little thing. No, I've got it down. But the shrink said, well, this is funny. Is it a joke? And I said, no, it's real. And then they have to ask you all these really ridiculous questions.
Right. Of that time.
Of that,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That you had to prove that you knew about what gay sex was like.
Oh, mm-hmm. In case you were trying to phone it
exactly, yeah, right. And this was where they would, like, eliminate the straight guys who were pretending.
Oh, I would love to hear that test.
We can't do it on this show.
No, but I'm going to look that
but
up.
Just, it may be my next musical.
That's got to be.
Yeah,
I think that would be amazing. It's when you talk of a time when they, I think there's a documentary, I think it's called Atomic Cafe, and it's of that time when students were instructed to get under their desk during a nuclear war because that would protect them.
Duck and cover.
Yeah, and cover, exactly. So these things, though, but that's fascinating.
Do you cover some of this archaic material a little bit in the
Well, Vietnam certainly factors into it. One of our characters winds up going to Vietnam, but it is absolutely a part of it.
Okay.
And she, our lead character comes to New York and becomes a part of all of this, becomes a part of the protest movement. And
there's a general fascination with that time, and like Mad Men captured it. It's just because there's so many things happening at once. There was this massive confluence of things taking place, and yet pop culture was exploding as well. And cool time.
It is great. Yeah. And the music, this particular music, Petula stuff and the stuff that we've gone chosen, everything had to be from 65 and 66.
Right.
It's her music in particular was really theatrical. I mean, because that was after the British invasion, the Beatles and the Stones and all that, and before psychedelia came in.
Yeah.
There was a period where every pop thing was done in a studio with a full orchestra.
Right.
And you hear all these huge arrangements, and they're the same kind of arrangements you would hear on Broadway.
It was that Phil, there was a Phil Spector.
Exactly,
big wall,
right.
Of
yeah,
sound.
The Wall of Sound, that was the LA thing. And then in New York and in London, it was, 30 people, lots of horns.
Yeah.
You know, it was pre-synthesizer and all that, so everything was real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the music is like in the show.
That's cool. That's cool.
So that's the 28th at the Delaware Theater Company. And your show in Peddler's Village at the Cock and Bull, when is that?
That is Saturday night.
This Saturday night. And is this conversations of this, Bruce Valanche?
Like this, but more. I can do the entire a draft story. Okay.
That alone
is worth the price of admission.
Yeah,
but a lot of show business stuff and just fun.
That's cool, man. And does that show, do you take that to different cities?
Yeah, I do it all over the place. I just, when I feel like it, I do a lot of corporate gigs, which I love.
Really?
Because
they pay well.
They pay very well. You don't have to do any press, which I'm enjoying this.
No,
but
right.
I mean, you don't have to sell yourself.
Yeah.
You don't have to sell any tickets. They're there.
Yeah.
They have to be there. And I tend to be like the diversity entertainer, you know, like for the
right.
And they're always very
to show their forward thinking.
It's funny because I mean I hear all about Silicon Valley and how tech is just so is so insensitive and all that, but I mean they're the tech companies are the first ones that reached out to me to come and perform because they wanted unusual people who
where have you played?
They had me. I've done.
Have you done Google and Apple?
Google, Apple, and Hewlett Packard a lot. And,
what's the Google? Were you on the actual Google facility?
I was here at the campus. Yeah,
sort of nirvana for an office situation.
It is, except there's a lot of glass, and I was walking around saying, "Man, if there's an explosion, we are Julianne."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
just
big glass. Slice
and dice. The pit ham will be sliced and diced.
In fact, they were talking about it. There was a story about the people at the facility were walking into the walls constantly because they couldn't.
Isn't it?
They couldn't discern where the windows were.
You know, I was. This is apropos of nothing, but I was in Hong Kong.
Yeah,
and there is a street where every building, it's new, all glass towers, and it is all built with feng shui, so they all face a certain way for the spirits and all that kind of stuff. What it also means is there's a certain time of day when the sun hits the glass on every building and it blinds everybody. And so they put up barricades. You cannot drive down that street because they were crashing into each other.
Oh my God.
Because the sun, it created a critical mass of light.
I love that they did that.
And I said, so where were the feng shui masters that day?
Right.
When this plan was unleashed. Excuse me so much.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
That is wild.
Well, I want to remind people about the musical. It is going to be running. It debuts on November 28th, but it will run through December 23rd. So this full holiday run here is going to be right at the Delaware Theater Company. So you should go and see it. And you can get the tickets at DelawareTheater.org. And they start at $25. So take the family, have a good time. It's going to be really, really cool. Mm-hmm. A Sign of the Times is what it is called. It's really great to meet you, Bruce.
Thanks
for coming
by
here this morning. We appreciate it.
I'm glad I did it.
Excellent. Bruce Valanche, everyone.
Yay!
On the President and Steve Show. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, it's Preston from the Preston and Steve Show. This holiday season, I'm going to be buying Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift cards for my family and friends. And listen, during the Black Friday weekend, it is their buy one, get one free sale on gift cards. Visit one of their over 50 locations in your neighborhood or visit hannahandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Do you ever wonder why everyone hates Steven Singer? Well, he makes buying a diamond easy with his 100-day no-hassle money-back guarantee and free shipping both ways, making returns and exchanges hassle-free. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. I already had to tell Kathy on our next guest to shut up.
He said stop talking.
Off air because...
They're burning off content.
They're burning off everything we're going to talk about, and it just goes to show that they can't not talk about shopping. And that's fine because right now we all need to do a little bit of shopping for the holidays. And listen, I've actually learned this year, and I started like a month ago, already buying a couple of things here and there just so I don't have to deal with it now.
I'm proud of you. I started doing it years ago. I keep a list all year round, so I always have a list ready to go, and it makes a difference.
So,
but you know, the nature of what like Black Friday used to be and what the sales were, that's taken a tectonic shift, Preston.
Yes, it has. So Black Friday, obviously, coming up. But our next guest was already saying, Kathy, you ready for tomorrow?
The preview day.
Tomorrow. Please welcome Mama Chief!
Mama Chief!
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. You guys rock.
Thank you, Mama. We appreciate that.
Okay, so Kathy,
once again, tell the story how we stumbled across Mama Cheeps.
So a friend of mine found Mama Cheeps. She sent me a link to her website, which has this spreadsheet of Black Friday deals. It's basically whatever you're looking for. You can search if you want to buy a TV, some sort of gaming system. You can search it. She tells you the price and where to buy it at that price and the best deal that you can get.
She led with TVs and gaming systems.
Well, she knows how to play the room. if she said stockings and atomizers, we'd be passing out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, you know, so I said her name the other day and you guys kind of played off her name, Mama Cheeps.
Mama Cheeps.
Mama Cheeps!
Okay. So, Mama Cheeps, what's big this year? So what's this preview thing that you were talking to Kathy about?
Well, I know Kathy loves Target. Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't? So tomorrow, if you have a Target Red Card, Kathy, I know you do.
Yes, of course I do.
Okay. Target Red Card holders get to shop an entire day early. This is online. So you're going to have online access to all the Black Friday deals. So,
is the Red Card their credit card?
That's their credit card.
Okay.
When you get an additional 5% discount with that card. So if you love Target, you love shopping there, you're kind of just a fool to not have a Red Card.
So let me ask you, and I'm gonna ask for specifics because I know you are the ultimate source here, Mama Cheeps. Target itself has a good track record for good sale prices, yes?
They do.
Yeah. And so with this addition, you're actually talking, because a lot of times we hear bait and switch. We hear limited inventory to get you in there. Blah 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 blah. So, but consistently, I hear people say that Target has really solid deals. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. Yeah, I think Target is right in line with the other big box stores.
Okay.
And I think that the Red Card sometimes just puts a little bit of icing on the cake. So if you like Target, but you're trying to decide between which store to go to, that additional discount a lot of times is enough to knock down the price.
All right, quick,
to get you in the door.
Quick question now concerning Black Friday. I've heard it said now as we approach, you know, it's coming right up, that it's not the mofo it used to be.
Not.
Okay.
I'm sorry to tell you.
All right. So should we in fact avoid shopping on Black Friday, or how do you play Black? How does Mama Cheeps play Black Friday?
Well, Black Friday is now like the beginning of a marathon.
Okay.
So we're like pre-gaming. This week is pre-gaming. And we're just kind of...
Yes! This is my type of pre-game!
Finally! It's your turn! So this is the pre-game.
All right.
So this is where you're going to get like all the stores are going to get you all hyped and say that they're leaking the deals early.
Right.
They do this every year. So like... Okay. You can get great deals this week. Kohl's deals are already live.
Right.
Target deals will be live tomorrow for Red Card holders. Most of them will go live. Best Buy is live if you have a Best Buy account, which is free if you sign up on their
site. So right now, across the boards, online deals are available if you have...
They are.
But it's usually predicated on you having the store card.
So a lot of them do. And then starting on Thanksgiving morning, most of the big box stores will go live online. So before you even hit the parade, Preston...
Yes. What should I do?
You can log in online and you'll be able to get tons of those doorbusters instead of even setting foot in a store. Just like before you're even out of bed, you can grab them online. So that starts this week.
Do we find that the inventory online, you know, does it get exhausted when you have, are you likely to find items sold out, or does that happen often, Mama Cheeps?
You will find them sold out. The bigger doorbusters, you're definitely going to have to be like on it and be refreshing that basket.
Yeah.
But every year as it goes along, I feel like the retailers are better prepared. They know where their consumers are going to be. They're going to be online. And then so you're pre-gaming this week with Black Friday and all of those leaked deals. Well, then we're going to segue right into Cyber Monday, of course.
Which is now Cyber Monday. Is Cyber Monday the real deal?
I like Cyber Monday.
Over Black Friday. Okay.
Mama Cheeps likes Cyber Monday.
My Mama Cheeps likes Cyber Monday. Now, we do support...
My UPS guy does not.
We do support brick-and-mortar stores when it's possible because we want to keep those jobs, you know.
Absolutely. And don't forget Small Business Saturday. Now, that's big. That's this Saturday.
Okay.
So that's where you're going to look for. You're going to go into town. You're going to shop those local toy stores, and the restaurants have different deals going on. And, I love Small Business Saturday.
And, you know, one of the things that Mama Cheeps and I were talking about, which I thought was really interesting,
interesting was the gift cards at, is it at Target or maybe some of the other stores? But so if they'll actually give you the deal, the percentage off of gift cards. So if you buy, say, a Target card, they'll give you 20%. They'll give you 20% off or whatever their deal is at the time on a gift card. So it's basically just...
So you're actually getting a discount on a gift card?
Here's what Target has done the last few years. And it's insane because, first of all, it's a great deal. But also, if you're thinking ahead to other things that you could pay off. So what they've done every year, it's typically the Sunday of Black Friday weekend.
Yeah.
They offer 10% off Target gift cards.
Okay, 10%.
Isn't that... That's Shoplift Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Depending on the location.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so Mama Cheeps, I have a question because what I'm finding helpful here is sifting through the deluge of advertising and getting past what the companies are telling you, which is obviously they want you to come and shop at their stores.
Not being kept down by the man.
No, I mean there's so much advertising. It's hard to tell which one's telling the truth and which one's not. There is truth in advertising, and yet they're trying to get you to come in their stores. That's obvious. So who is telling the most truth, I guess, in their advertising?
Well, a lot of them, I've noticed, for example, you have to be careful when you're looking at the circulars to make sure that the advertised price is actually your out-of-pocket price. Because what a lot of the stores like to do is they put this insane low price. And if you really check it out, what you're looking at is that's your price after sale, coupon code, Kohl's Cash, or, you know, whatever rebate they're giving you, or a mail-in rebate, that's your final price. That's not what you're paying out of pocket. So if you're on a budget and you're working with, you know, so much money, be careful of that. And they, you know, they'll spell it out in the small print.
Right.
But there are some stores that are notorious for posting their lowest price. But that's after you take all those discounts.
That's the lowest price possible, but
legwork for you to do as a consumer. You've got to mail in that rebate. You've
and people don't do it. They forget to do it, right?
Yeah, it's easy to forget to do
it. You have to be really committed to do that, and a lot of people don't. But you're right. Yeah. A lot of people just prefer to have it the lowest price when you buy it at the cash register.
Yeah.
Now, this year, and I don't think we've gotten a real definitive list, but you apparently have an angle on what are going to be the big toys to get. What's on the Mama Cheap's toys must-get list?
It's like every year there's those hot toys.
Yeah.
This year, I don't feel like there's any one toy that's necessarily like flying off the shelf like Cabbage Patch Kids. Ugh, that was my mom.
Mom was a Cabbage Patch Kid?
I mean, well. No. She was beating off the other ladies at Hess's in 1984.
Yeah, yeah.
What was she doing?
She was beating off the other ladies, not the guys.
Ladies,
the guys would have been a holy
totally
different
misheard,
thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Happy holidays.
Yeah. That's mama porn.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
The Lego sets that are really hot this year. Harry Potter just came out with a whole line of, you can get the castle, you can get the Fantastic Beast
Talk
line.
About expensive, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Is there any way to beat, because it's Lego and Lego stores, is there any way to beat those prices?
Target will offer, they'll have certain days where 20% off of toys, you have to be careful. They don't always include Lego, but that red card discount does apply.
Yeah, you'll get the 5%. Yeah. They did have a Lego deal just a few days
ago.
But the Harry Potter sets were not included.
They'll exclude some of the franchise ones. And the thing is, like, there's the Harry Potter sets with Lego. There's that LOL surprise dollhouse.
Yes, which is huge now. You know, Kim Kardashian's kids all love that stuff.
A giant plastic mansion with hidden things in it, I guess. And it's like $200.
Jesus.
It's very expensive. And so things like that, it's not necessarily going to be that you will find a great deal on them, but you risk them going out of stock. So if if Santa needs to bring something, you're going to want to make sure to shop early to get it.
Hey, by the way, if people want to find out your list and everything, where do they go for Mama Cheeps?
Love that. They're going to head to MamaCheeps.com.
Oh, well, there you go.
Right there on the website. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook.
And it's M-A-M-A.
M-A-M-A. There are several different spellings.
People spell it wrong.
M-O-M-M-A is another one.
Yeah, so it's Mama Cheeps, M-A-M-A, and then all one word. And we have your Instagram account up right now, Mama Cheeps, and you have 5498 followers now. I predict we will have 6,000 by the end of this segment.
Yeah, probably.
I'd be very excited.
All right, so Mama Cheeps, what about avoiding shipping issues? Because that's a big one for Kathy here.
Well, I never pay for shipping.
Shipping. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that the other day, weren't we?
Yeah.
You spend $300 on your card, and if they say your shipping is $3.99,
forget
it. We're walking away because that's just insulting. It is.
See,
I agree.
She's with me.
You've dropped a load of money on your order, and they're not going to pick up your shipping.
Give me free shipping. Or you know what? Just hide it in the price. Don't tell me about it.
Right, yeah.
I can pay it and not know it. I'll feel so much better that it wasn't listed there as a shipping charge.
I know what you mean. So you've totaled up everything, and then you go to check out, and then it's not till then that you see that added bit. And you're like, really?
It's insulting, right?
10 bucks more, you know, than I already was willing to spend. So right. I understand.
And then you have to walk away. You have to search for a promo code for free shipping. You end up wasting half an hour of your life. And then you don't even want the things you were going to buy anyway. So yeah. It's just a downer.
But look for promo codes?
Look for promo codes. Always go on and Google.
Where do you find them?
Yeah. Anywhere. Coupon Cabin, Retail Me Not. These are all websites.
So you go to these websites and you look for the code for the particular store that you're interested in. And all you need to do is retain that numerical code?
Yes. Yeah, and I also highly recommend if there's a specific site that you like to shop on, sign up for their email list and follow them on social media. Because that's kind of the wave of the future here. They love putting out promos for their fans. Why? Because their fans are the people who are buying their stuff.
Okay.
So go ahead and follow them. Go to their Facebook page. If you can't find a promo code for a site on Retail Me Not or one of those, go over to their Facebook page or their Twitter and see if they've put anything out for their loyalty crowd.
Right,
because
right.
a lot of times they do. And then if you're really up against a grain and you just can't find the free shipping, there is something called Free Shipping Day.
Free shipping day.
That's in December. It's usually mid-December. And so, I mean, if you really want to hang on, but then you're kind of, it's one of those.
You're risking.
The inventory might run out.
Or the UPS guy hasn't shown up and it's Christmas Eve and everyone's having kittens because grandma's, you know,
in the basement drinking the cider.
Yeah, well, that you have to.
Right.
You know, to forget about the tragedy of the shipping.
Right.
So, of the $3.99.
And they can tack on some major shipping costs.
The real Christmas
and it pisses me off.
Yeah, it is. And I think these days, like, retailers are really getting on board with free shipping because they know how much.
Most of them do.
Another thing to check out are the stores that offer free in-store pickup. So you've got stores like Walmart, Target. There's a number of them. And you can place your order online and go and they'll have your order ready for pickup for free.
How good is that? How efficient is that?
Well, if you follow me on Instagram, I am classically at Walmart. That's not the right word.
Yeah.
Chronically at Walmart.
Yeah.
Usually every Monday, looking like I got the mom bun. I've just dropped the kids off at preschool and I'm picking up my groceries. I love their grocery service.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
I can place the order on the app or on my computer and just roll on down. You don't have to get out of your car. It knows when you're there. They come out. They're happy. They don't accept tips, but they do like smiles.
Okay.
Speaking of smiles, Kathy has had one on her face this entire interview. I keep looking over, and you're like this. She's got this grin on her face.
It's like the look, like no more sex.
Yay! I don't have to. Great. I'll tell you why I'm so happy, because what I have suspected is she's kind of confirming it, is that we don't actually have to go out on Thanksgiving. I think if you go to the stores, there are some doorbusters that you'll get or some deals that you will get, but you could probably just get the same ones online, which I think is what I'm going to do.
You'll agree, though, that, and it's just a rare happenstance that this is the case, but anyone who advertises on MMR, you need to frequent the business and go there and buy all your stuff from there.
Obviously.
Yeah. Well, speaking of advertisers, I was curious, Mama Cheeps, as your star is continuing to rise in the world of retail and website and everything, do people want to advertise with you? And so some of these stores will advertise?
Absolutely. A lot of
But you can't be bought.
Primarily what I do is, no, none of my posts are that. So most of it's just affiliate marketing.
Yeah.
So I'm not partial to any one of the companies.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
if I'm a member of their affiliate program, like I will join with them. I have to sign a big, long agreement. And then they give me a specific link that I can use. So I'll earn commission. So this is my full-time job.
Okay.
So I'll earn a commission. Let's say if somebody goes on Amazon from my site and makes a purchase, then I'll make a commission from Amazon.
But you're not, but you, but
not that traditional advertising.
Right. That doesn't sway your, it leaves that step out of it. If they go,
Absolutely.
They go.
Okay. Oh yeah. It's impartial.
All right. Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
On your Instagram account, Mama Cheeps, you have a Instagram stories, highlights of travel. Do you talk about travel deals that are available this time of year? Okay. And do those happen? Because we talk a lot about retail.
Yeah. And you know what? They're a little bit like, it just depends on if you're following the different. I wouldn't say you might not find a deal on every single airline, you know, that's out there, but there are deals. I remember I had a friend last year who was able to get dirt cheap tickets to Norway. Took the kids. Her brother lives there. Took the kids to Norway for like 3 weeks. It was like summer camp in Norway.
How much did you have an idea?
They were like $200.
Whoa.
Round trip.
And it was this time of year that those
Black
deals...
Friday. It was on Black Friday.
Let me ask you then. So people who do give trips for the holidays or as gifts, is this a good time to do that or is it a bad time to do that? Because we hear this is, you know, the hot time.
I think what you need to do is you need to do your research a little bit beforehand and really know what those tickets are going for on an average basis so that you know if you see a drop, because it is possible, we need to know if it's a good deal or not. So where do you find those travel deals? A lot of times the
Mama Travel.
Yeah. I mean, you can go with like the Travelocity and the Expedia and the different all-in-one sites. But then there are also sites that will pop up, like just Go on Southwest. They'll run their own Black Friday sale, Cyber Monday, the specific airlines. Frontier, they like to run the cheap flights out of Trenton to Florida. So things like that.
All right. You also have food on here. Is that restaurants or?
It's more like when I pretend that I can cook.
Oh, okay. You take a picture?
Preschool snacks, like just things that look pretty and make me look like a Pinterest mom. Yeah. Right. I'm actually just really good at the hack to make it look
What are you sending them off to school with just a bag of flour?
Well, speaking of of Pinterest mom, she has over, is it 500,000 shares on Pinterest of the elf that comes to her house and does things in her house.
Really?
What's that all about?
That elf on the shelf.
Oh, the elf on the shelf. Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, we have, Norm is our elf.
Oh, we have Obo.
We have Norm and Nina. We have a boy and a girl. And they've been coming for years.
Well, that's the thing. We adopted the elf, I think, back about 9 years ago. Probably towards the beginning of Elf on the Shelf. And I was new to blogging. And we just decided, I need some content for my site anyway, so we'll put pictures up. So now we've got this collection of probably almost 10 years worth of our elf antics. And I've got all sorts of free printables. I've got calendars to tell you, like, if you are just having an off, your elf is having an off night.
Yeah, you can give them suggestions. Yeah, take a look here and mention to your elf that these are great ideas. I love that.
Some That's a great extreme, elf.
Some of them are pretty laid back. Some of them are like the elf catches a cold and has to live in the Christmas tree for 3 days. Like, you know, no problem.
And is that's on your website or is that on? Okay. So it's MamaChiefs.com.
All on the website. MamaChiefs.com.
All right. And so you have the, if you want to compare, cross and compare all the deals that are going on from Black Friday, that's on the website too.
Yeah. If you go to my website, right at the top, you'll find the spreadsheet and you can search it actually by item. If you just go,
it's
an Excel spreadsheet. It's an embedded spreadsheet. So just hit Control F, type in whatever you're looking for, Roomba, Dyson, Apple, and it'll pop up with, it'll highlight all of the items.
Very thorough. That's the way to, because we are so inundated with information, and that's the hardest part is disseminating what you're looking for from the whole cluster.
I think the hardest part is like you just get overwhelmed because there are a lot of good deals out there, and it makes you just want to spend all the money on all the things.
Right, right.
And then you're really sorry when the credit card bill comes in January or February.
But you're here to say you can score some really solid deals.
You can score some solid deals, and it really just helps if you have an idea of what you're looking for, because then you can really compare. And the spreadsheet will help you compare like apples to apples. If you're looking for a Chromebook.
Yeah.
Type in Chromebook, Control F, search for Chromebook, and it's going to show you every single Chromebook store at any number of, 10 different retailers.
Right.
So you can see right off the bat, I can get a $99 one from Walmart or Best Buy or whatever.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like that. Well, Mama Cheeps, nice. It's very educational. And
each day this week, you're posting like different separate deals.
Oh, yeah. I don't sleep this week.
Okay.
this is the hot time. So you're on, sister, you're on.
She'll kind of highlight different deals throughout the week and she'll put them up there so people know about them.
Okay.
Yeah. Amazon runs their gold box deals every day. So I'll highlight those and they do their lightning deals. So, yeah, I told Kathy, I traditionally show up to Thanksgiving breakfast looking extremely hungover, and I have not had a drop of alcohol. I've been up all night searching for deals.
You're drunk on consumerism.
Well, drunk on, exactly.
We have the link on PrestonandSteve.com if you want to check out Mama Cheeps, and we've gotten several hundred new followers here. I've looked on your Instagram page,
awesome.
So that's all good for everybody. All right, cool. Nice to meet you, and I'm sure we'll have you back someday.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
And good luck this week, okay?
Thank you.
Mama Cheeps, everybody! Yay! All right, it's underway, man. The official shopping season is this week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's already been going on, but it kicks in high gear this week. We're going to take another break. We'll come back in just a moment or two. Make sure you stay close.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Acme Mar-
Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, beginning Monday, November 26th at Xfinity Live in South Philly. If scheduling prevents you from attending in person, you can still make a difference. Stop by your local Acme throughout November and make a donation at the register. Just look for the Camp Out can when you check out, and Acme will make sure your donation goes toward foods that fill abundance needs most to help area families. Go to WMMR.com/campout for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Hey, I think we're closing out the invites for our wedding.
Yes.
Our mass wedding, which is a week from tomorrow. You may be able to squeak in a little bit. I'm not really 100% sure, but you can check at PrestonandSteve.com. Hungry for Love is what it's called. We're doing it next Wednesday. A little bit of paperwork to be done, and that's why we need to go ahead and get it finalized and everything. But take a look. If you would like to share your nuptials with us at the Camp Out for Hunger, we are happy to facilitate that for you.
And we want to see your nuptials.
And a lot of people, yeah, let your nuptials hang out.
Let them hang out.
The Philadelphia Wedding Company had a meeting with them yesterday, so we are very thankful for those guys, making sure we take care of all the paperwork.
It was so funny to hear the guy, Pat, who was one of the officiants, come in. He said, I just thought you were going to delete my email. I didn't even think this was going to happen. And here we are in the middle of a mass wedding planning.
Steven Singer is going to supply for 10 lucky couples wedding bands.
That's
and we'll
awesome.
Draw for those while we're there.
Yeah.
We also have a honeymoon trip to give away. 4-day, 3-night trip for four to a resort in Florida. That's on the Gulf of Mexico. And that includes round trip airfare, 4-day rental car. You'll be staying in your car? No, I'm sure accommodations are...
No, you'll be sent in Preston. You are, if you're heading down to Florida, you're quite possibly going to end up as a future Bizarre File story.
You never know, because a lot of them come from there.
Yeah.
Creeble's Custom Bakery is going to be supplying the cakes for us. And, in fact, they'll be doing some giveaways of cakes for anniversaries.
What?
The following year, yeah, which is really cool.
And love brings out the best in everyone.
And our buddy Brian is from Course Photography is going to be taking care of the pictures for everything. We have some special guests that are going to be appearing and all. So that's going to be on Wednesday. And we're working on size and how many people can fit in a tent. And this is our first time ever doing it. So if we mess it up, don't kill us on this. We're doing our best.
It's all to collect food and feed people. And it's a wonderful thing. So we have a... Every day is jammed with all sorts of stuff going on. So make sure you come down.
Absolutely. All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Lorenzo and Sons Pizza. Lorenzo and Sons Pizza has been family-owned and operated since 1970. Visit Lorenzo and Sons Pizza on South Street in Westchester in the Wells Fargo Center and in the spring of 2019 at Xfinity Live.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. A pantsless man is facing a number of charges after a stolen truck with a snowplow blade wound up overturned around 11:30 p.m. Once again, the man was wearing no pants.
Your balls are showing.
They responded to a call of a pickup truck driving with its snowplow blade scraping the pavement. Officers located the vehicle but were unable to stop it. A short time later, the vehicle was upside down near the ferry terminal, and police said the vehicle had been stolen from a business and the driver was not wearing pants.
It's okay. My balls are uninjured.
The crash damaged multiple utility poles and shut down the road. For nearly 6 hours, the driver of the truck was held in custody and charged with breaking and entering and possession of stolen property.
May I take a guess?
Yes.
Drugs?
You know what? They didn't indicate, I have a feeling that he may have been...
It seems a likely candidate.
Under the influence of drugs in his snowplow.
Call Mr. Plow. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
Love it.
We haven't had that in a while. A Florida motorist's blood alcohol content was more... than 8 times the legal limit.
Holy hell.
When he was arrested yesterday for...
In that case, there's blood in his alcohol.
For careening across the road, hitting 2 guardrails and nearly striking other vehicles. Ricardo Gonzalez was pulled over Sunday after police issued multiple be-on-the-lookout warnings after receiving witness reports about a dangerous driver. When he was contacted, a cop noted that he smelled the booze, had bloodshot, glassy eyes, and was unsteady on his feet. A subsequent breathalyzer test...
So he just jumped to conclusions.
Registered Gonzalez's blood At 0.66. The legal limit is 0.08.
It's also one digit shy of the sign of the devil.
And a lot of times, if you're like 0.5, something can kill you.
Yes.
You know? So they did a second test, and he blew a 0.64. So it was legit. Wow. Gonzalez was arrested for drunk driving and booked into the county jail.
Preston, later that night, he was actually pissing margaritas.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Step right up.
Unbelievable.
A mom has issued a chilling warning over a Santa Claus app reportedly telling children that it will find them and kill them. Oh. The mother has been left startled by the sinister message, with it creepily threatening kids as young as three. The mom's warning, posted on social media, relates to the Santa Call New 2018 app, which is available to download. When kids press the call button, the app dials Santa before being told, "Hello there. Can you hear me, children? In 5 nights, if you're free, I will look for you, I will find you, and I will kill you."
I possess a very special set of skills.
Wow.
That makes me a nightmare for bad children. If you've been naughty, I'll find you. I'll kill you.
That's kind of what it is. Moms and dads have been left outraged by the app, which was available on the Amazon Children's Store. Amazon is reportedly investigating after the incident.
Well, why not take it down first and then investigate it?
Yeah, maybe so. Two Vancouver men are facing charges of theft after Royal Canadian Mounted Police say they arrested the pair for allegedly stealing a shopping cart loaded with $1,400 worth of butter. Police say the men, who were 23 and 25 years old, were arrested outside a supermarket. I think they were just going to party. So while the theft of a large amount
of
butter...
We're making an enormous cookie.
A theft of a large amount of butter is a little unusual. Police do see these sort of thefts with other food products like meat, cheese, and baby formula that is easily sold on black markets.
But butter, a little more difficult, right?
And police said the 23-year-old man is also a suspect at least three other butter thefts around Metro Vancouver in recent months.
All right. They had to play good cop, bad cop with this one.
Probably.
Hey, I like butter, too. Listen, I understand. I'm a butter guy myself.
I would love to play the good cop in that scenario. How awesome
butter,
would that
right?
be?
It is awesome.
Sometimes I just can't help myself.
Can't stop myself. So what'd you do it for?
Yeah.
Did you see the headline, Preston, on the article?
It says he was a bit slippery to catch, but you know what they say, butter late than never.
Something tells me he's going to stick around. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not trying to pad the story.
Dear Lord.
Thank you.
Smooth.
Knife one.
A store employee recognized one of the suspects because of previous incidents of butter theft. Because the charges haven't been officially laid.
Wait a second, that's the butter guy.
The names of the accused haven't been released. We'll do one more story, wrap it up.
Sure. Right.
Japan Airlines has moved to update its rules on drinking alcohol after its pilots failed breathalyzer tests in a series of incidents. It's been reported that Japan Airline pilots have failed breathalyzer tests 19 times since August of 2017. When a more sensitive breathalyzer was introduced for in-house checks.
So they decided to improve their numbers. They're going to test them less.
Passengers were told the delays were due to crew health conditions, and staff made no mention.
You ever tried to fly a plane? It's nerve-wracking.
Of alcohol levels. The latest report follows news that a Japan Airlines pilot admitted being almost 10 times over the legal alcohol limit at London Heathrow Airport in October. Katsutoshi Jutsukawa was arrested after failing an alcohol test shortly before a flight into Tokyo a few days earlier.
Was this 8 times the legal limit?
Fellow Japanese airline Al Nippon Airways suffered delays after a pilot was taken ill after drinking.
So I was flying with my pants off.
8 of the 25 domestic Japanese airlines don't impose alcohol tests on pilots.
Oh, I think that'd be
that'd be
a necessity, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
I think that can impede your flight capability.
All right, and that is what I have for you this morning. Somebody else has said in reference to the butter thing.
Yeah.
Good cop, butter cop. All right. Let's take a break, shall we? We'll see if you've been paying attention this morning. We'll do a lesson question, and we have trash and music news that's coming up, too. Don't forget our word of the week prize. You only need three letters, so we will give that away tomorrow. You need today's letter coming up at the end of the show. And thank you to Hatfield for being here this morning. Wonderful food. Check them out at simplyhatfield.com. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Today, we're going to do a lesson question, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets in the Jackie Bam Bam row to join Jackie for the Lynyrd Skynyrd Show, which is going to be Saturday, December 4th at Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City.
That's the one show where it's completely appropriate to yell Freebird.
Absolutely. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Yes. All right. So the question I have for you this morning, what holiday tradition involves a royal family and a pit? What do they do to the people in the pit? 215-263-WMMR. What holiday tradition involves a royal family and a pit? What do they do to the people in the pit? 215-263-WMMR. If you know the answer, you should call right now. And we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin' Donuts. New handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing. Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for $2. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Tekashi 69, the subject of a federal indictment on charges of drug dealing, armed robbery, and multiple shootings, said a close friend of the rapper, quote, he could have avoided all of this had he been able to read the writing on his face.
Oh, my God.
Black China cashing in, endorsing a new skin whitening product called Whitenicious by Denica, which goes for $250 per jar. Black China says the product will appeal to any woman who wants that oh-so-sexy Sammy Sosa look. And finally, Paris Hilton calling off her engagement to the man she claimed was her soulmate, Chris Zilka. Hilton apparently became enraged when Zilka asked the one question he knows she cannot answer. What are you thinking?
Oh, my God.
That's your Hollywood trash.
All right. Thank you very much. Whitenicious?
Whitenicious really by Denica.
That's really what it's called?
It is a skin whitening product.
Whitenicious.
And if you look at Black China recently, she looks totally whitenicious.
Has she really been fading
yes,
in complexion?
As you might imagine, this is a controversial
deal. Say.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
There's a picture over here.
Interesting.
For Whitenicious.
I have not heard of that. All right, so we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away those Jackie Bam Bam tickets, and to the phones we go. With this question for you, what holiday tradition involves a royal family and a pit? What do they do to the people in the pit? I'm going to go to Brad. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Brad, what do they do in the pit?
They slaughter the peasants.
They slaughter the peasants. That is absolutely correct. Hang on the line, Bob. We're going to get your info. And we are going to give you a pair of tickets from Jackie Bam Bam Row. You can join him at the Lynyrd Skynyrd Show Saturday, December 4th at Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. And tickets for the show are now on sale via Ticketmaster.com. We are now going to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
Brought to you by Worldwide Stereo, the gifts they really want. See Worldwide Stereo's A-List gift guide at worldwidestereo.com or head to their stores in Montgomeryville and Ardmore. Soundgarden guitarist Kim Thayil told Forbes in a recent interview that an upcoming benefit concert honoring the band's lead singer Chris Cornell will be, quote, somewhat anxious. He said, I suppose it will be somewhat anxious. Soundgarden didn't initially corral this lineup for a project. It was driven by booking agents and Chris's wife, Vicky, who really wanted to organize this, and our management. I'm sure it'll be just fine, and we'll be able to deal with it just fine.
These days, I only go to anxious concerts. They're my favorite.
The lineup for the show, which will take place January 16, 2019, at the Forum in Los Angeles, will include Foo Fighters, Metallica, Ryan Adams, and members of Soundgarden, Audioslave, and Temple of the Dog, along with other surprise guests. Thayil continued, saying the lineup was put together by Vicky management and the booking agents with all of our approval, I should say. The only people on the bill are people that Soundgarden members approved of. They were looking for people the band had a history with, Chris had a history with, and people who were supportive of us over our careers and fans of ours who could do some of this material justice.
There was originally a lot of fighting because their benchmark that they were using was just Nick approved, and then they decided they'd have the band approved. Yeah.
Well, we're all on the same page, so it works out.
Proceeds from the show will benefit the Chris and Vicky Cornell Foundation, as well as the Epidermolysis Bullosa Medical Research Foundation.
It's a very painful disease, I understand.
Yep. The Rolling Stones have just announced their 13-city 2019 No Filter North American Tour. And it was Pierre and Jackie who brought you that news yesterday.
Did you see some of the Twitter activity yesterday? Some people thought that it might be Pierre announcing his retirement.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Really?
And then there was a sigh of relief when it was the Rolling Stones concert.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was a sigh and a long con con.
A sigh and a long con con.
I never would have even considered that. Okay.
Guess who's retiring?
No, nobody's retiring.
No one.
Tickets go on sale Friday, November 30th at 10 a.m. local time. The show will be June 4th at Lincoln Financial Field. Mick said in the tour announcement, "It's a thrill when we play stadiums in the States. Their energy is always amazing." And Keith Richards added, "I've always loved playing the States. It's a great crowd.
I like hot dogs."
Yes. So he's coming to the right place. And then finally, speaking of touring, Mumford & Sons have postponed four dates in their UK tour due to what was described in a statement as unforeseen logistical and technical challenges. And some diarrhea.
Oh, man.
The British Quartet debuted its new stage show on Friday in Dublin, Ireland, with the group's publicity team calling the show
technical difficulty, the kind that pour down the back of your legs.
Calling the show groundbreaking, but fans in Liverpool, Cardiff, Sheffield, and Manchester won't get to see this.
Those are my brothers.
This groundbreaking show until 2019, with the band claiming the production issues forced it to reschedule. There is currently no word on new dates. Now, calling the new production the most ambitious show we've ever put together. The band admitted, "We've had to free up some space in the schedule to be able to execute it, given some obstacles that have come up in production." This is the band that normally has no production.
Yeah.
So they're going for a bigger, presentation this time around.
Did you hear the new music, Case?
I did. I've been listening to the album since it came out on Friday.
And what do you think?
I think it's a little sleepy. I was a little bit disappointed. I was telling Preston yesterday, there are some really beautiful moments on the record,
yeah.
But the whole thing, I think the best songs on the album are the first one, a song called 42, and then the last two songs, a song called Forever, and then the title track, which is called Delta, are the three, in my opinion, three best songs on the album.
Hmm. One Twitter user called for the band to, quote, just use a regular stage, while another described the delay as totally unacceptable, and a third user blasted the last-minute postponement as pretty amateur. But Mumford & Sons are touring in support of their fourth
album, Hell.
Delta, and it was it was released this past Friday, as Casey was saying. So there you go. That's what I have for you in music news this morning. Actually, I have an idea. Do you want to hear my idea?
Oh, my God. Please. I want to hear it. Totes.
All right. So
does it involve a melon bowler?
No, it doesn't. It involves a shard out.
All right.
But here's – okay, so let me read you the shard out.
You can't see this now, but Preston's taking his pants off.
So it says, "Hey, Preston, Steve, my name is Emma, and I wanted to do something nice for my best friend, Casey. Every year on her birthday, her boyfriend would somehow manage to get a shard out on the air to wish her a happy birthday because he was always traveling for work on her birthday. He mainly got on because he listens from Antarctica."
Wow.
"And that's where he was working, and that's pretty interesting. However, 3 weeks ago, his douche canoe self broke up with her from Antarctica."
What?
She's an amazing friend and mom. So many people love her so much. She deserves to be boosted up for her birthday. So with that being said, could you please wish Casey a very happy birthday with a nice, long, juicy shard out, as those are her favorite. She idolizes you guys and listens every day. Thank you." And that is from Emma, who's checking in. But I, with the Casey Kasem story we had earlier this morning, I thought about something. And since this has a negative connotation to it, no, instead of a shard out, how about a long-distance diarrhea?
Okay.
A long, like a done long-distance.
So we're keeping it classy.
Give it a chance, Ken.
A long-distance dedication.
Let it breathe.
But a long-distance diarrhea.
Long-distance diarrhea.
Because you played the more squishy.
Yeah, I can do that.
So this here's a long-distance diarrhea for her friend Casey. Well, I laughed at it. There you go.
So, from Antarctica.
Yeah, that's a long way. That's what made me think of that. Yeah.
A long distance.
Diarrhea.
Now, so what was he? Is he a researcher down there, did they say?
Yeah,
did he work at the Antarctic Target?
I believe he's gotten in touch with us before, and he sent me some stickers from Antarctica.
And then he broke up?
I guess so. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the case. There's always going to be somebody really unhappy.
It's not like he met someone down there.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe he did. I mean, when you're down there, there's really not much else to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyhow, that's our first and maybe last long-distance diarrhea.
long-distance diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about just ones that involve Antarctica?
What's that?
Any shard-outs that involve Antarctica
will be long-distance diarrhea.
I think that's a good way to hold it.
Okay. How about anything in the southern hemisphere?
Really? Well, wait a second. It wouldn't be that long-distance because the shard-out's not going to Antarctica. The ex-boyfriend.
No, just put, like, the story itself involved Antarctica.
Yeah. I'm turning it around. She wanted it for a friend, but I'm sending it
How
to
about
the
anyone
guy.
Who admits that as they wrote that, they had diarrhea?
Right.
What
are you doing?
When you guys start talking about stuff like this, I'm going to hold up my Target shopping cart. And
she has a little miniature Target.
like a cross against a vampire?
Shopping cart. I'm just going to start shopping. This means I'm going to start shopping when you do.
What do you mean,
Where
start?
Did you get
diarrhea?
That, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We had a listener that came in and gave us each something that, and he made this mini Target shopping cart.
That's
for
very nice.
Yes, I love it.
Okay. Today's Tattoos Day. Oh. So I think we'd better meet our tattoo recipient and tattoo artist. Please welcome to our microphone listener, Vicky.
Hello.
Hi, Vicky.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good.
Excellent. Did you like the long distance diarrhea?
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Okay.
Thank you. We thought you would like
it. I thought that was great. And Troy is here as well.
How you doing?
Tattoo Eddies. I'm good. Troy, how are you?
Good.
Nice to see you. You all ready for the holidays?
Getting there.
Okay, very good.
Tattooing your turkey already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do that. Vicky, where are you from?
New Jersey.
And what part of New Jersey?
West Effort.
All right, and what kind of tattoo did you get?
I got 2 tickets to paradise.
Really?
For my parents.
Eddie Money? Yes, there you go. Yeah.
For your parents? Why, were they big Eddie Money fans?
My dad sang that to my mom before he passed.
He sang that to your mom before she passed?
Before he did.
Oh, before he passed.
And it was their song, so when she passed, I made it.
That's, you memorialize them with that.
Yeah.
That's great, very nice tribute. Yeah. Wow, that's wonderful. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, I love it when people will do that.
And it means
when they honor someone, they have some of the very specific, very personal. There's some people that get some, you know, tattoos that are just kind of fun, and then there are ones that really have some
mean something
emotional impact. So that's really cool. Do you work at all? Or are you?
I'm at home right now.
You're at home right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. You've been listening to the show for a long time.
Yep.
That's excellent.
Forever.
Excellent.
Forever. Love it.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You got it, of course. Hey, can people, by the way, speaking, you know, we were talking about gift giving and so forth and people shopping for the holidays, Troy. Do people buy, like, gift cards for tattoos or do you guys handle that?
Yeah, we do gift certificates at Philadelphia Eddies.
Okay.
It's a, great gift.
All right. And how does
for dads and grads?
How does one
you
get
just
that?
Go into the shop and grab it there.
Go into the shop.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's your address?
621 South 4th. 4th and South.
Okay. 4th and South. No problem. All right. I think that's a,
absolutely.
Good idea for a tattoo. I mean, for a gift. A tattoo would be a good idea.
Or buy something for a tattoo.
You could do that as well. If there's a special one in your life, buy something for your local tattoo.
One more person I got to put on the list.
Vicky, anyone you want to say hello to while you're here?
My children, my grandchildren, and my family.
Have grandchildren.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Two.
Wow.
Two. Well, thank you. So there's another
Casey.
There you go. So maybe that diarrhea long distance thing is good.
I'm saying it's catching on.
It can hit everybody.
Yeah. Vicky!
Nicely done.
All right. Thank you, Vicky. Nice to meet you. Tattoos Day. And with that. Can hit everybody. We'll take a quick break and come back in just a moment. Get ready to wrap it up. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Stone Temple Pilots. The Record Company. I've got this left to fix. Threw it all out in Shinedown. 'Cause it's about to get
heavy. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you to the listener. Because it was obvious, and I don't know why I didn't think of it, but instead of the long-distance diarrhea, long-distance defecation.
There you go.
That rolls off the tongue a little bit better. So you had to have been tuning in earlier to understand what we're talking about. But you can always listen to our podcast because we've got that up and available for you every single day. It's almost the entire show. Or the Bizarre File is also segmented as well if you just want to check those out.
The ways that the show is available to you boggles the mind. And then you have the Daily Rush videos and then the Weekly Rush.
Which, by the way, there is a new Daily Rush video and it was awesome having these guys in the studio, the Revivalists. And Wish I Knew You. We have that up and running. And you can watch that now at PrestonSteve.com.
Super talented.
Sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. Yeah, it was one of my favorite in-studio musical performances we've had in a while.
Yes.
I was just like, wow, this is really, really good. So they were cool guys, too. Very nice. So happy to have them in. Some thank yous are what we're going to go through now. Hey, we have Bruce Valanche here.
Yay!
Bruce is a super nice guy, loads of stories, been in the industry in and about some really big events as a comedy writer and performer.
Huge,
and
huge.
He was great, man. A Sign of the Times is the musical based on, well, he wrote it. He wrote the musical, and it's playing at the Delaware Theater Company November 28th through the 23rd. And then this weekend, the Saturday, is going to be at Peddler's Village at the Cock and Bull, and he's doing just kind of a spoken word, one-man show type of this is my life type of deal.
He's a funny guy.
He was great.
Yeah.
He was wonderful. And thank you to Mama Chief.
Mama Chief! Mama Chief!
She was great. Kathy, I liked her a lot. There were a couple of practical things I didn't really, most of that stuff I don't care about.
Right.
But I liked her personality a lot. Yeah. She was really sweet. And you can check out her website, MamaChiefs.com. And we have a link to that on PrestonSteve.com. And Mama is spelled M-A-M-A. And then, so her on Instagram is just Mama Cheeps.
I entered it wrong, and I was on JasonMomoa.com.
Oh, that's the wrong one.
That's completely wrong.
That's Aquaman.
Yeah.
We also want to thank Hetfield for being here. they brought some wonderful food this morning, and Chef Jen and I were talking. She's run restaurants for years, and she works for Hetfield now, and she's a hell of a chef. And they brought in breakfast fried rice and pit ham and pomegranate fig glaze with slider rolls and all kinds of good. So the ham and cheese corn muffin. I got to make sure I grab one.
I had one, and it was very good.
Good. So you can find a variety of sizes of their meats and flavors and cuts.
I would like various sizes of meats, please.
You can find a size and flavor to fit your holiday needs at simplyhatfield.com. So that is simplyhatfield.com. Fresh off his retirement announcement, Pierre Aubert.
Hey, he's back.
What?
Wait a second. Casey, Preston, look at Casey.
What? Oh, my God.
He has the Billy Bob teeth in with the lips.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Pierre didn't. If you're listening, Pierre did not retire.
I apologize. No, Pierre did not retire. And he's sitting there laughing. He's so.
He can't even see himself. Why is he laughing so hard?
I saw it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It was based on something you said, Preston, and he ran with it.
Oh, my God.
What are those things?
Those are Billy Bob teeth.
Billy Bob teeth?
And he's using the lip spreader.
And then I got.
Now, when you go to the dentist, sometimes when they do work on you, they'll put those things to spread your cheeks apart so they can get to every part of it.
Where do you get to those? You're dripping.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're dripping.
Sorry.
You're dripping saliva.
Sorry. That's what happened.
He's just sitting here like laugh.
Because I had to see what I look like.
Yeah.
And I did. And it made me laugh.
Okay.
Right,
you take that out?
All right. Now,
all right, okay. Thanks.
Now we proceed.
Oh, right. My God.
What was the retirement thing?
I was on Twitter. I don't know if you're aware of this. There are a few people who wondered the announcement yesterday, thought that you might be retiring.
Ah.
Yes.
And it was a Rolling Stones concert.
It was a Rolling Stones concert. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were aware of that or not. Steve brought me up to speed on it. I didn't know.
It's funny because someone texted in and said, I hope that's not what the announcement is, right after we got off yesterday of our crossover.
But, right.
I could do that in five minutes.
Right.
I don't need to stretch that out.
I'm gone.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's done.
By the way, I wish you would have been here with Bruce Valanche. You're a nice counterpart to him with your blue glasses today. His are the red, obviously, that he wears. That would have fit him perfectly.
I go up to Provincetown in the summertime, and he's often up there. He and John Waters, interestingly enough, are often up there, and they have a parade, and he's usually in it. He's quite a character, and it was a great conversation.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it. Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. It makes me actually want to go see that production.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And John Waters is often riding around on a bicycle. You know, everyone's in T-shirts and shorts in summertime. And John Waters has this, like, Wizard of Oz Dorothy bicycle. And he has a seersucker suit on.
I knew he always wears a full suit.
With a suit and tie. And I was, you know, at getting an ice cream or something. And he pedaled up next to me. And he looks at me. And I go, what are you doing here? And he goes, what are you doing here? Which was perfect.
Yeah, I like John Waters. Yeah. We've talked to him a few times over the years. He's always a great interview. Yeah. Nice.
But Bruce Valanche sounded just great today.
Cool. How about we get a letter from you?
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
Idol, as in Billy Idol.
All right. And we have one more letter to go. We have a Flyers Santa sack.
Oh, it's I. I'm sorry.
What's that?
I said, I didn't say the
letter.
You said
Idol as in Billy Idol.
Oh, I didn't even, okay. I
as in Billy Idol.
Nobody picked up on it.
I'm so spacey. I as in Idol, as in Billy Idol.
All right, we have a Flyers Santa sack, and that's two lower level tickets, an autograph puck, a collectible gritty ornament, two Philadelphia Wings tickets and more. And Santa sacks are the ultimate Flyers gift, and they're on sale now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. Sure you got some good stuff planned for today, right?
Yes, a block of I as in Billy Idol. We will do a block of Billy, and that'll be fun. We've got a block of the Eagles. Joe Walsh is 71 today, so we'll do Joe material, some of his stuff with the Eagles. He's just as cool as and crazy as can possibly be.
He's awesome. You know, Billy Idol just became a citizen.
I did not know.
Yes, he took a citizenship test and passed.
Wow.
Flying colors.
Very cool. So we got Billy, we got Joe, and we've got a workforce block of the Offspring. Nice upbeat stuff and a great show last night with the Struts. Kind enough to send a second shout out to MMR. And I was talking with Luke afterwards and reminded him that one of their earliest appearances on American radio was with you guys. And they changed the words of Could Have Been Me. Where the line goes, you got it, listen to you tell me. I'd rather listen to somebody else tell me. And he changed the words, not even knowing you guys, to I'd rather listen to Preston and Steve telling me.
Stop it.
It is. It's
last night?
No.
Oh, here.
Yeah. No, he didn't do it last night.
Okay.
But he did.
You're right.
He did give MMR a nice shout out last night.
That's awesome.
That's cool. So that was cool.
I love that band.
Their new record is just great. I highly recommend it.
All right, cool. Let me take a moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show today has been brought to you by Acme Markets, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Dunkin' Donuts as well, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And also Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. We are going to have Mark Wahlberg on the show tomorrow.
Yes.
We are going to have Kevin Smith on the show tomorrow.
Yes.
And we will have a Not Your Average Listener, and we will have Kathy's Holiday Activities. Whoa. There's a lot going on tomorrow. You don't want to miss it.
That's a lot of show.
That's it. That's it. We're done. Ray John, have a great day. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Time passes.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Listen, I'm all happy that you're getting furniture, but your driver could have pulled 5 feet down the road and he wouldn't be blocking the. It's called a brain, people. It's a gobbledygook between your ears. Start using it.
Next message.
Happy Thanksgiving, you filthy animals.
Next message.
You know what I wish people will learn to do? Turn on your headlights when it's dark out.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.